The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working.
Brady
like
under center, pulls away, hands it to Ridley. He runs it up the middle, the ball pops free. He's hit, and Von Miller picks it up to Devin, running it past the 45 to midfield. Down the Patriots' right sideline to the 30, to the 20. He is gone to the 10. He is on his way to the end zone. A scoop and a score. The three receivers off to the wide side, left side in motion, then retreated. Brady off the snap, hit from behind, the ball pop free. Another scoop for the Broncos, and running out of a tackle, Terrence Knight is eventually brought down at the 10-yard line. It is the second fumble of the night. Takes the snap, hands it to Moreno, slowed up the middle, then he knifes through the right side in for the score. The Broncos add to their lead. Hand off to Blunt, runs it to the left, LeGarrette outside, a burst across the 40, barreling forward, close to the first down marker. About 9.5 yards, the ball came loose at the end of the play. No whistle sounded. The Broncos on the return down the right side. Trevathan eventually forced out of bounds.
Really can't believe what you're witnessing right here. And that ball's out. That's a fumble. Patriots are handing the Denver Broncos a football game in their own stadium on a primetime telecast.
Manning on the third down snap. Looks to the end zone. Throws to the back of the end zone. Finds his receiver, Jacob Tammy, for a touchdown. And Denver now leads 23-0. Right out the shotgun snap. Looking across the middle, throws it to Vereen. Makes the grab at the 42. Hit by two defenders, Trevathan and Woodyard. Brought down well short of the first down marker. The Patriots again to punt. The fans to air their understandable feelings right now.
Don't blame them.
First and goal to go from the 5. Bronk lines up, left hand down, tight end left. Marine out of the back to Brady off the snap. Looking right, throwing for Edelman. Back corner of the end zone. Tumbling with a touchdown for the Patriots as he makes the catch. Forward to the backside.
Coach preaches to be a tough, smart football team. And we weren't playing like that in the first half. And, you know, we went in there and we basically said, let's just start over and play for the next play. And I try to win it all in one play. And we went out there and made some plays. And we did that.
Manning retreats, sets up a screen right. For Monte Ball, hit by Dave Fletcher. Ball is loose. It's on the turf, and the Patriots had a shot at it. Ball still squirming free.
They got
Patriots
it.
Patriots have it. Bolden is the tailback. Brandon takes the hand up. Bolden running it for a Patriots touchdown. Off the left side, it appears. And indeed, he's in.
We got life.
You know, we found ways to just put one play, you know, in front of it after the next one and the next one, and end up scoring some points. It was a good team win. That's a real good football team, and I'm glad we got the win.
Left foot forward for the quarterback. Hands extend. Takes the snap. Retreats in the pocket. Under a rush. Throws across the middle. Touchdown! Rob Gronkowski! He spikes with emphasis, and the Patriots score again.
All of a sudden, you don't feel as cold.
Patriots trailing by 3. Sets up with a throw to the right side. Catch made by Edelman. Turns to the end zone. Oh. And he runs it past the 5. He dives to the end zone. Touchdown! And the lead for the Patriots. First and 10 for the Broncos. Ball on the far hash, right hash from the 26. Shotgun snap to Manning. Play fake. A throw to the near side. Ball picked off by Logan Ryan. Diving break on the ball.
He's got it.
As he stepped in front of Eric Decker.
He's got it.
Patriots take over.
This place is berserk. I can't believe what I'm seeing. I really can't.
You know, really proud of the way they fought back. Just took it one play at a time, kept fighting all the way through. And, you know, it took, we say they play 60 minutes. It took a lot more than that tonight.
New England's won the toss, elected to defend. They will kick the Denver in this direction. Okay, man.
Third and 8. Manny throws it out to the right, and the ball's dropped again by Wes Walker. Hit hard by Jamie Collins from behind.
Really proud of the way they played, the way they hung in there. Certainly wasn't a very good first half. You know, we just stuck it out.
Aiken snaps it. Allen receives it. Boots it away with the left foot. It's a high-hanging kick. A good punt with Welker. Starting forward. Now back to where the ball's going to bounce. Hit a Bronco. The Patriots recover. The Patriots have it. The ball is covered up by New England's Nate Ebner. At the 12-yard line!
You've got to be kidding me!
Ryan Allen sets the right knee down. Turns toward Gostkowski. He's in the staggered stance, trying to win it in overtime. The snap, the spot, the kick is airborne to the upright. And the kick is a game winner! The Patriots come back and beat the Broncos 34-31!
All right. Well, it's great to relive.
He's got it.
What might have been one of the greatest regular season wins for the Patriots ever. I mean, it didn't clinch anything. It didn't, get them a bye or anything like that. But it just in terms of pure entertainment.
Where's the beef?
Unbelievable. I can't believe what I saw, and I don't think all the people that stayed throughout that bitter cold night could believe it. But
the people that left certainly couldn't believe it.
They were rewarded for it. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. And it just shows that, anything can happen in this league at any time.
And that is why, Fred, I tell you, I never leave games until it's over, because it's sports. You can always see something you didn't expect, you didn't think you were going to see.
60 minutes or
that
more.
Said, I don't blame people for leaving because it was freaking freezing. This was extenuating circumstances. It was ridiculously cold.
It really was.
I just had an email from a buddy of mine whose 81-year-old uncle went to the game and stayed for the whole thing.
I was going to say died or something in the stands.
I mean,
I thought that was going down
outside in that weather, down 24-0, 81 years old, stayed for the whole thing.
Well, he probably figures.
Well, he was in the club, but that's all right.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe he was.
He was sitting next to Robert in the luxury box.
It just said outside, the guys that emailed me.
That was unbelievable. This is going to be a great show because I think all of Patriots Nation just, that was a shot in the arm. After the Carolina game where you got screwed, you come out here and you thought, okay, you got a chance. It's going to be tough, I know, but we've got a chance. And then you fall behind 24-0. Everything bad that could go wrong did.
Baltimore-esque.
And it was just like, what are we watching here? This is ridiculous. It reminded me a little bit of that Baltimore game, the playoff game, where they started out with Ray Rice.
I'm going to go make a coffee.
It just
you might as well.
In that game, there was just no shot. And the Patriots had no shot from the get-go. But here, they stuck with it. They came out after halftime, and they just made it happen.
Yeah, it was. I would not blame. I share Andy's sentiments. I wouldn't blame anybody for, given the weather and the performance. I wouldn't have blamed anybody for pulling the plug at halftime. And I know a lot of people didn't even watch it on TV in the second half in the comfort of their homes.
Yeah.
It was that bad. It was remarkable to play that badly. To have the Patriots play that badly in the first half and Denver do the same thing, with the lead, it's way worse what Denver did. The Patriots came out and they turned the ball over the first three times, but to turn it all over, four times like that in the second half with a 24-0 lead is just absolutely inexcusable.
I thought it was interesting. Belichick on EEI said that he was actually more upset in the first half of the Carolina game than he was in this game. And I think basically what he's saying is there
must have been a lot of mental mistakes in the Carolina game than this one.
And this one, turnovers, Stephen Ridley's not the team. LeGarrette Blount's not the team.
But they're all physical. My guess is, I didn't hear Belichick on the radio, but my guess is he's saying guys get beat. Nate Solder got beat by Von Miller, a couple for sacks and whatnot. And you get stripped, Blunt fumbles the ball, Ridley fumbles the ball. They happen. My guess is there's probably mental breakdowns that happen in the Carolina game that we don't have any idea about.
Right.
That he was really upset about. And, you go over something in a game plan and, the more time, Cam Newton scrambles, for example. I'm sure, they were playing man-to-man defense. Right? Everybody talks about when you have a scrambling quarterback and you're in man-to-man, it makes it difficult in the secondary. Well, I'm sure Bill knows that. And I'm sure that Bill had, precautions in there and ways to say, listen, if he breaks down, make sure you keep him in the pocket, but if it breaks down, this is what you have to do. And my guess is that guys weren't, stuff like that was happening, and I could understand him.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. We're here at Gillette Stadium on a Tuesday. The weather's actually a little warmer now. I walked out of the house this morning. It was 32. It felt balmy.
I had some significant snow falling.
Really?
When I left my house.
Wow.
This morning. It was sticking, too.
Yeah. But the game Sunday night was the coldest regular season game since, what, 1993, I think they said?
It was the coldest ever at Gillette Stadium, regular season.
Regular season.
And I think it went back to 93. I think you are correct.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, and it was like 20 degrees, but that wind coming from the north was bitter. It made it like a 5-degree wind chill.
Yeah,
it was just
that's on a small handful of painful walks that I've had to make leaving this place Sunday night, and how cold it was. You know, that Tennessee playoff game back in 03 was bitter cold, but I don't remember the wind being like that. It was like 4 degrees at kickoff that day. But I don't remember. That's unbelievable that you would do something
really?
Like that.
Really? Andy walks by.
Absolutely unbelievable.
With a coffee and just lets it go right in front of me. Unbelievable.
It's just beyond.
Have you no shame?
Explanation.
I think you know the answer to that.
God.
Wow.
All right, well, I'm sure we're going to have
That was as cold as I can remember, Fred, to sum up.
Yeah, the press box. I mean, it might have been down to 69 in the press box.
I was talking about the walk through the parking lot.
I got stood up. I'm still amazed that I got stood up. Could say something about the fact that I haven't been hitting the gym lately, but the wind stood me up.
All right. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of people that want to chime in on this game. It was just a celebration.
Did you guys listen on the way home to the criticisms of Tony Carter on like the brick or whatever those overnight? They were ripping him. Get away from the ball. It's not Welker's job. Blah, blah. Like, wait, what? I mean, I didn't
listen to anything.
They were shredding him.
Well, I mean, does he share some of the blame? I mean, aren't you supposed to get away from it when
I put it like
when Welker goes like this about a step before the ball hits you? I don't know what you can do.
No, but wasn't he also yelling?
I'm sure he was, but to me, it wasn't a difficult punt to catch. Why he didn't catch it, I have no idea. It wasn't like 20 yards short of where he was.
You can see immediately when Carter hears him.
I think so.
Oh, yeah, Welker
choked. Because a lot of our fans think so.
Yeah, I think he did.
Oh, I think it's all on Welker.
We're going to get into some of the emails.
He's a nice little player.
Wow.
That's what I told you.
Wow.
Wow.
He is what I said he was.
Hot take there from Paul Perillo.
He is what I said he was 7 years ago.
I'm sure others are going to bring this up like I just said, but do you think this makes letting him go any better?
Oh, no.
No.
See, I don't either.
No.
But I think that's what a lot of people are getting to. Okay, so we were right to let him go.
So we knew that it was going to be 25-mile-an-hour winds in the Sunday night game, and he was going to inadvertently let a punt drop that he probably should have caught.
He was 4 of 8 targets.
Well, the passing game, forget about for the Broncos. The passing game had a lot more problems than Wes Welker.
Right. But he dropped a couple that were catchable.
He had one really bad drop.
Yeah.
One really bad one.
So, but
it didn't help that old noodle arm Manning had nothing.
I think I'd still rather have Wes Welker here than not. I don't know. That's just me.
Let's put it this way.
Nah, we got Edelman, two touchdowns.
He was more productive than his replacement. I mean, he did nothing in the game and was more productive than his replacement. So, yeah, I'd rather have Welker.
Paul's got an edge to him today.
Yeah, Paul has not been in a good...
No, well, I think...
I've heard nothing but yelling coming out of your office all morning.
Paul's resigned at the fact that he's going to have to be working Super Bowl week.
In the auxiliary
because
press.
Because the Patriots are going to be in the Super Bowl. So
in
he's,
the snow.
Yeah. So he's resigned himself to that fact that he's going to be working 80 hours a day, or 80 hours that week.
In the, beautiful climate of New Jersey.
Right.
Although I just found out you can go duck hunting right outside the stadium, according to Fred. Did you know that? Those like swamps in there, people duck hunt in there. Yeah. He's got a friend that does.
Oh, really?
It. Yeah. Can My you envision was, that?
That's
like,
good. So not only that, maybe I'll get picked off by a stray bullet. Dick Cheney's brother will take me out.
All right. Well, let's get right into it. Let's get to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Mike's in Oregon. He's starting it out. Hey, Mike.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Well, needless to say, great win. Let's not even talk about that. But it's kind of hard to find Patriots fans out in Oregon. And I'm in the dorm.
You don't know Chester?
Right. Chester's in Portland.
He's somewhere there.
I think we have another one, too.
Well,
Matt.
University of Oregon.
No, he's here.
He's a good 3 hours away. But, I find this kid in the dorm, Patriot fan, allegedly. We start talking, and then in the third quarter, he says, yeah, I think when Brady leaves, I'll stop rooting for the Patriots and just crush me. Like, oh, come on.
Oh, he's not alone.
So, yeah, but pretty much that's how all the fans are out here. So, I guess, until I do meet Chester, I'm alone.
Alone in the woods.
Exactly. That's too bad, Mike.
But my question was, from really good performances from Edelman and then a pretty solid performance from Spike, do you think, and I know there's the rest of the season left, but do you think that the Patriots could resign them next year to an extension?
They could.
I think Edelman, they could.
Yeah.
I don't know about Spikes. I don't know if he wants to be here. I don't know the need when you're healthy at linebacker. You're obviously pretty much committed to, well, definitely to Collins and Mayo. Mayo with a long-term deal, and Collins is your new young high draft pick.
Hightower,
I think
too,
you're because, pretty much committed to Hightower. Now, yeah. I know fans are sort of ready to run him out of town.
They really are.
But that, I mean, that would be an early pull in the plug of a first-round pick.
Right. So, know? I mean, Spikes is what he is. He's a guy that's had an impact when he plays, but he's also been banged up a lot. You saw him fade as the game went on the other day, sort of, as the knee bothered him more and more.
I think if you want to sign a thumper middle linebacker, I think you can find one in the draft, right?
Well, yeah, I think you can find
those
guys.
It doesn't have to be a first-round pick.
Well, and it might be. It might be Dante Hightower. It might become your thumper in the middle.
Yeah.
He's a big middle linebacker. Now, Spikes may go down the Edelman road of he goes out there and he thinks he's going to get a good deal, you know, 4 or 5 year deal for X million, whatever, and say, oh, there really isn't a market out there. Maybe,
right.
Maybe New England is good for me.
I wouldn't rule either one of them being extended or re-signed.
I think Spikes is a lot less likely.
I think Spikes is less likely. I'd be to the point where I'd be surprised if he were back. Edelman is an interesting situation because last year he didn't have any value. I mean, he didn't get any interest, but he didn't have any value. He might have value now.
But he was also hurt. He needs to get between here and there and not hurt.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's part of the reason why he didn't have any value. He wasn't productive, and second, he was never healthy.
No,
it's
but
a bad combination when you hit free agency.
Literally, he hit free agency on crutches, didn't he?
Yeah.
So that real, I mean.
But I mean.
Even regardless of the season, whether you were hurt or not, make visits on crutches as
shown,
a middling nobody is not
He has
not
shown
good.
This year that he can.
That's my point, Fred. Thank
barring
you.
Injury, he can be a productive member of a team.
Like, well,
I think he's always shown that.
I don't think he's had this kind of production ever in his career.
Consistent.
Yeah, because I don't think he's ever played this much and stayed this healthy.
Well, that's.
But that's part of it.
You need the opportunities.
Sure.
Yeah. And given them, he's shown. So
I think last year, if he were coming off this kind of a season and then had a foot problem that he maybe, let's say he suffered a foot injury in the last game, I think he would have gotten some bites. Now, you probably wouldn't have gotten anything substantial, but he got no interest at all. He went and visited the Giants, like, in May and didn't come back with a contract.
Didn't that one feel like, you know,
like a show.
The agent's brother works for the Giants and said, sure,
exactly.
Bring him in or something.
Yeah,
like.
That's exactly how I feel about
it. I'll help you out.
And all of a sudden he re-signed a one-year deal with, you know, to stay. I think this year, like you said, if he can get from here to there without, you know, breaking, I think he has a chance to get some interest. I don't think he's going to break the bank or anything, but, you know, those, like, minor wide receiver deals, the 4 years, 16 million types, you know, one of those deals, I could see him getting that. And if I'm a good team and I could use, like, a really good punt returner and a guy that I can plug in as my third or fourth option.
Right.
Might be worth, you know, absolutely. $3 or $4 million a year for that.
But are not the Patriots a good team that could use those things?
Andrews and Buffalo.
With Amendola here?
Yes.
If you're still scared of Amendola, you kind of need
Amendola
insurance.
Will they give that to him, though?
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
You got 8 inches of snow up there, I read.
Oh, no. Well, I live in North Tonawanda, actually.
Okay.
Oh, obviously. Oh,
no. So you have 6 inches.
it really didn't pile up, actually.
Okay.
I mean, it snowed a little bit, but it's not piling up.
All right.
Yeah, I'm very excited about the game. I didn't turn it on. I actually watched the whole thing. I'm really impressed with the way the guys really fought out there. You know, really had a lot of mental toughness. But I hear everyone, you know, kind of knocking the defense about giving up a 220-something rush yards. I don't really
to one guy.
I felt like it played well because there was only six in the box. I felt like it was a good game plan. Bill Belichick told the defense that, you know, we'll give up the run, but we're not going to allow them to throw, you know, have explosive passing plays. I think that was very smart defense. My friend is a Broncos fan, and he seems to think, I think this is ridiculous, but he seems to think that the Broncos didn't, they're holding back some of their plays for later in the playoffs against them. And I think that's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. They couldn't throw the football the other day. Yeah, that was the problem.
Both teams were limited.
Yeah, I don't think they held anything back, though.
That's where I kind of disagree with your defensive thing, because I think at some point you need to realize Manning can't throw the football. And maybe adjust your defense and say, he's not going to beat us over the top. We're not going to give up big plays.
Right.
Yeah, and the other part of that, too, is, like, how badly could it have been? Let's just say Manning wasn't as affected by the weather. Let's try to play a hypothetical game here and say the weather, you know, let's say Manning was like Brady. Because like you just said it, Fred, both guys were affected by the weather. I mean, the wind bothered Tom at times, too.
Mm-hmm.
But he was obviously able to play through what he threw for, what, 340
foe,
yards?
Foe.
344 yards. Okay. Well, they ran for 280. Mm-hmm. How many would they have passed for if they had just passed? And would people say, well, that's, you know, if Manning threw for 300 yards, 300 even, would people say, well, that's bad or good? Like, they gave up almost 300 yards on the ground. Manning wasn't going to throw for much more than that in pristine conditions. I mean, he wasn't going to come in and throw for 450 yards like he did, you know, against Baltimore in the first game of the season. Like, how many yards could they have allowed on the ground where people would have said, you know what, that's too many yards they allowed.
Even in the nickel, that's starting to be a problem.
You know,
I think it was a problem.
And I was actually going to ask Bill after the game, and I saw that somebody asked him yesterday a similar kind of question. I didn't know exactly how to put it, but is it hard to stay with that defense knowing that you're getting killed in it? I mean, you're getting gashed repeatedly. I mean, for a guy to carry the ball 37 times and average as much as Knowshon Moreno did without any really home runs. Yeah, I think he had three different 18-yard runs.
Right.
That was his longest run, so there was no fake yardage.
He was a workhorse.
There was not like one time he slipped away
he
for 70 yards.
He left the game on
crutches. Oh, he was beat up.
Yeah. He sprained his ankle. And,
but, I mean, every part of him, his arms
right.
looked.
He was
average 6.1 yards a carry on 37 carries without a big play. Just as consistent domination, one after another. So, to me, how many more yards than that were you going to allow?
Well, but I think there is a difference between those types of yards on the ground. You know, you're piling up play after play after play, and you're giving more opportunities to make a mistake, you know, like Monty Ball or whatever. And so I just think that that's not how Broncos play football. They haven't all season. And we were forcing them to do something they haven't done all year, and it worked out.
But did it?
Yeah.
That's
running
my
ball
my,
is
my
not
question,
as dangerous as throwing
in the second
it.
Half,
my question would be, did it work
in
out?
In the second half, they only scored one touchdown.
No, I understand that because they
And they were still running the ball
but
really
why,
well.
But why did the Patriots not score in the first half?
Turnovers.
And that's why Denver didn't score in the second half.
But what I'm saying is...
And I totally agree with you, by the way. The Patriots would have scored. The Broncos wouldn't have shut them out in the first half if the Patriots didn't turn it over three times.
Right.
Absolutely, no doubt in my mind. I think, matter of fact, I think they were going in to take a 7-0 lead. The first drive of the game.
So the question is, I mean, and we'll never know, but if weather wasn't a factor, what would the defense of Belichick have been?
I can't imagine it would have been different.
No, the question
with
is,
the,
with
the
Broncos
weather, he
should still run it 48 times.
We're saying,
right.
Should they have
That's
changed?
The question.
Right, would they have... You know,
I don't think they would have.
Yeah.
No, perfect. I don't think they
Everybody
would
was saying, you know, giving Manning credit because he saw the cover two shell with the nickel and, you know, that you're running to that. I think he knew he couldn't throw. I think he knew, and it may be his arm, it may
and
also be
Belichick
that ankle.
I knew that too, and that's why he took the wind in overtime.
No, but at some point, don't you realize he can't throw and maybe try to tighten up the run defense a little bit?
Yeah.
Not just give him 6 yards a pop?
But he is smart enough to know, okay, now I can. I have enough room to pass.
I think he had nothing. I mean, I think whether it was the ankle, the wind, or the arm, or some combination of the three, I think he had nothing. He had a water pistol at a gunfight. He had nothing.
Mm.
I actually wonder, you know, if it's not the ankle, if it's just the arm, I think his career is coming to an end. We're seeing that late 30s guys fall off the map. Now, I'm giving him the out that I think the weather was a big deal, but also the ankle. We saw how bad that ankle was a couple weeks ago. That doesn't just clear up. So the ability to, you know, drive the ball or push the ball down the field.
The weather was huge.
But he had nothing.
Yeah, he was having more trouble. And we thought that he would have more trouble, not only because of the arm and, the nerve damage and all that stuff, but that a lot of times he doesn't throw that tight spiral that Brady throws. And I think that really helps. And I know that Bill talked about that on the radio yesterday. I did catch that. Talking about the size of Brady's hands really helps him throw a really tight spiral.
Is that what it is?
Is
that why Manning doesn't? He has small hands?
Understood. Bill didn't say anything about Brady.
Right.
He was asking.
Because I have never understood.
But yes, he does have a small hand. That's fact.
Does he really?
Yes.
Yeah. I've never understood how a guy who is the best quarterback of all time, who does nothing but throw. Did you see how early he was out there the other night?
Oh,
early,
yeah.
Way before anybody else, to throw 8 billion balls and not at some point figure out how to throw a spiral.
Yeah, he does
like
have...
weird.
Well, he may have smaller hands.
He does have a smaller
hand.
He's
got a weird body. Let's face it. He's as tall from the neck up as he is from the neck down. Right?
Freddie, you broke your record.
He's a little
you went 26 minutes without taking a ridiculous cheap shot.
I'm serious. He's a little bit deformed. And I'm not surprised because he's a tall guy.
Very.
But he does not have really big hands.
He's not proportionate. It's not proportionate.
But I just want to state
his hands would be smaller than should be.
I don't want to make. I don't want to start something because Bill did not say anything negative about Manning. He was talking about the question was about why does he think Tom is so good in bad weather, and he started off by saying, "Well, first, I think it requires a lot of mental toughness, and I think Tom has that."
Ooh, he took a shot at Manning,
but he also had
That's what people are saying.
They'll do that. I'll guarantee they'll do that.
The straw man's saying that.
Someone will say that he's taking shots at Manning, and he wasn't.
Right.
He was praising his guy, and he was saying how big his hands were, and that allows him to throw a very tight spiral in bad weather, and that's how you get it through the wind. We were even talking, Andy and I were talking, the Hail Mary at the end of the first half. Tom got a chance to get back, really step up into that throw, and threw a tight spiral low
to
keep
it
out of the wind to try to cut it. Didn't
and
even
it
come
still
close.
Died.
Right.
The 8-yard line.
Didn't even
may
come
have actually
close.
Worked out for the Patriots because it hurt Dominic.
Oh, and that being the key play of the game because Rogers Cromartie got hurt and that didn't return.
Because the ball died so much, right. He ended up diving and I think awkwardly hurt himself.
All right, let's continue.
Although if he was able to take another step, who knows, maybe it would have been 31-0 at the half.
King says it wasn't Welker's fault on that last play. Look at all the turnovers that night, which may have been due to the cold weather. I mean, even the great Edeltron fumbled on a return and had to be bailed out. Sure.
Twice.
Wait, if Welker had fumbled coming up to catch the ball, okay, you can blame it on wind, slick ball.
Right.
He decided to let it bounce and decided, knowing there was traffic in the area, to make a dangerous decision.
Right. Edelman bobbled a punt and then fumbled it on the return. Trindon Holiday allowed a punt to fall and hit him in the leg, and Welker allowed this ball to fall and hit another guy in the leg. There's a difference there.
Yeah, it was a decision.
The ball there had silicone on it.
Chris with the TIN's on the line. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. Just tremendous win. One of the most depressing halves of football, followed by one of the most euphoric. It was great. I mean, Fred, I disagree with you at the top. You said it's a win that really doesn't mean anything. I think this solidifies us as a team to beat in the AFC.
So does Paul.
No, I didn't
I
say
you
it didn't mean
that.
Anything.
It didn't
what
clinch
I said,
anything.
I said in terms of, I said it's one of the greatest regular season wins ever. I said even though it didn't clinch anything or anything.
Yes.
I think it was still one of the greatest regular season wins ever.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I misunderstood you. Okay. Yeah. No, it was, you know, from the call to take the win in overtime and all that, I was like, what's he doing? Like everybody else, what are you kidding me? What are you doing? Of course, the fact that it worked out and Welker fumbled the ball makes him a genius again.
Right.
But anyways, you know, it was great. I mean, you just can't turn off the TV. And this team now, just to have that in the back of their head, that they can't come from behind and that they can do this, I think is huge.
Right.
I think it's huge.
And they've been building that all year.
I think the bigger thing is on the other side, the team that you're playing.
Yeah.
What is that team going to be thinking when they're facing you in the playoffs?
That's true. But, Christian, I think you're onto
something.
Please
no wind. Please no wind.
It's not only that.
Please don't let us have a 24-point lead.
But I think it makes a big difference for the young guys, too, because up to now – they're learning what can be done.
But they've
in the
done
NFL.
That. They've done it all year.
I know.
That's why, to me,
I mean,
it was
if you remember, I thought it was weird. I believe it was week one in Buffalo that Brady said something like, you know, it might not be easy, but I know we're going to fight. I know after this we're going to fight. And I was thinking, that's interesting that early in the season.
That early.
He's willing to anoint them fighters. And we've seen other seasons, 09, where they weren't fighters.
They've
and
had
they questioned
seven
themselves.
Games. Seven games decided in the last play. Basically, the last minute of the game. And
they're
4-3 in those games. I mean, that's a good record for that.
This is good for the young guys because when you get to the playoffs, they know we can do this. We've been through pretty much everything.
Yeah.
You know? And I just, you know, I know Brady says it all the time, and it's almost just like this textbook answer, mental toughness. But for a guy like, for guys like Jamie Collins and Logan Ryan, like you guys said, the rookies, to have that, that's mental toughness. To be down 24 for the defense to play and force the turnovers like they did is huge. It's huge. It's just I couldn't sleep. I fell asleep, I think, at like 2:30 in the morning. I was so wired. I mean, it was amazing. It really was. And I'm going to leave you with this. I know you got a lot of calls. The elephant in the room, Ridley. What do we do with him? Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks.
He's talking about Paul.
Thanks, Christian. Let's go to Neil in Montreal. Hey, Neil.
He left you with a question.
Doing? Hey, Neil.
How you doing, guys?
Good day, mate.
No, Canada.
He's in Montreal.
No, Canada.
Why do you have to do that every time somebody calls in from anywhere other than Dartmouth? I mean, really.
But we are members of the British Commonwealth, just like Australia, so...
Yeah, see?
I'll give you something, Andy.
So I was accurate.
Okay.
You're Queensmen.
I just wanted to talk about a couple things. One is, I actually... I know they were gashed on the ground, and it looked horrible, but Denver only scored two... They only drove down the field twice in basically five quarters. So I think that strategy worked. As bad as it looked, it worked. The other thing, and I'm not doing this with hindsight, I'm watching the overtime, and I'm thinking, geez, do I want them to take the ball, or do I want them to take the side with the wind behind them? And when they decided to take the wind behind them, I thought about it, and I said, you know what? I like that. And the reason I like that, and I'd like to hear your comments on it afterwards, is, okay, the only real the risk is they're going to drive it down the field and score a touchdown right now, and they really hadn't shown a lot of ability to do that during previous four quarters. They hadn't done it much.
Well, they had done it a drive early, one drive in between, the second to last drive of the game.
Yeah, they don't do that.
They went 80.
See?
Yes. They did.
Both teams had two long drives in the game.
Right.
So to me, it was a weather game. It was
both teams had drives killed that would have been long drives.
Absolutely. The game plan, I'm kind of with Andy. Like, I understand going into the game saying, we're not going to let Manning pick us apart here. To me, at some point in that game, it was painfully apparent that Manning was not able to pick you apart. No matter what defense you played,
right.
He just did not simply have the physical skills to pick you apart because of the weather, because of his ankle, because of whatever the reason was. He was not able to do it, and yet you stayed, and I think allowed them to stay in the game by grinding it out the way they did. Now, I think I'm a big believer that there's only so many points you're going to be able to score when you just run the ball like that. And, you know, you take the turnovers out on both sides, and that's a much lower scoring game because of the weather. But I think you sort of opened the door for Denver getting really, really close to winning the game in overtime because you just stayed in that. I mean, what did they get, 5 yards away from field goal range?
Well, beyond that, remember when I was joking? The first two or two of the first three runs in overtime looked like they were a hair away from going the distance.
Oh, we were
there, like, was an 80-yard run just waiting to happen.
Oh, the first run was 18 or whatever.
Yeah, and so,
but it was a cut to the outside that was like, just a hair away from being a big run.
I think all of us, when Belichick decided to go for the wind, I think we none of us were shocked.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah,
I wasn't shocked.
We were
all
kind of like, okay.
I was not shocked. Yeah. I was not shocked, but I didn't like it.
You know,
I didn't hate it. I was kind of indecisive, which you can't really be.
And the 80-yard drive, if they hadn't had that drive into the wind, I would have loved it. But that 80-yard drive to tie the game,
right,
to me, that sort of made me scared.
But the thing is, if they don't score a touchdown right away,
I understand the rules.
The rest of the quarter, they have to get a lot closer to get a field goal than you do.
Yes.
And you're going to get field position on them if it becomes a war of punt.
Right. Bill estimated 20 yards, right? Bill said.
Yeah, probably.
He sounded like he was contemplating a 60-plus yard.
But ultimately, that didn't work.
He said, I had to get to the 45. And
yeah, he thought he could get to the 45. Now,
that would have been fun.
It was a question as to whether or not it got through the uprights.
Oh, yeah. Right. He said the distance would be okay. I don't know where it's going
to
go.
He has to hook it in.
That would have been fun.
Yeah. But he would have only tried that, I would say, very late in overtime.
Oh, yeah. But that would have been fun.
But ultimately, you know, the field position ended up, we were on the wrong side of that because the Broncos drove in overtime their two drives and the Patriots really didn't.
Right.
So we were on the short end of the field position
stick. But had the Broncos been with the wind, they may have been in field goal range, or they would have been in field goal range because Prater's got a strong leg.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So. Steve is in California. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. Epic win on Sunday.
Yep.
That's all I can say.
Okay, thanks. Oh, no.
No, I love the show. I listen to you guys a lot. Unfortunately, I wish I could call in more, but I'm actually sick from work today, so I have a chance to call in.
Oh, I hope you feel better. A little chicken noodle.
Hey, all I want to say is I think it was Sunday. That game took a lot out of me. My wife and I are huge Pats fans, and I'm 24 now. I've been a Pats fan since I was actually pretty much since I saw Brady drive down the field to have the Adam Vinatieri field goal in the very first Super Bowl in 01 against the Rams.
You've had a pretty good run here in your short
life. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I admit it. I'm spoiled. It's okay. I'm you know, it's fine. But I gotta say, I was, you know, I, on Sunday, I got up and I, you know, I put on my Brady jersey. I had all my gear on. I was psyched. I was ready to go. And, usually I do about like a beer a quarter, like each quarter I get a new beer. But, after about half I do the second quarter, I think my alcohol consumption went up by about three times. It, really, really wasn't looking good at all. And, I looked at my wife and I was like, okay, I think it's time for some hard liquor. I think we got to get to this.
And to break out the hard stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And, I was watching the game with one of my buddies who's a Cowboys fan. And he looked at me and he's like, dude, if there's any team that can come back from this, it's you guys. Dude, don't give up. There's any team. And I didn't give up at all. I didn't turn off the TV. I kept it on. And I was hoping. And, I think the really key drive for me was really the opening drive of the second half. I mean, Brady just marched them down the field and 80 yards, put it in, and for 7 points, right to Edelman in the back of the end zone. And when I saw that, I thought, okay, here we go. Let's get this going. And then, you know, we made a stop, we got the fumble, and before you know it, we're up 28-24. And one of my buddies, who's actually a diehard 49er fan, he was watching the game, and he's like, you know, Joe Montana, you know, all the way. And he always gives me crap for being a Brady fan. He says, oh, you know, Brady's never going to reach Montana status. But he texted me, and he said, he's like, man, I'm watching history being made right now. I mean, I think, like, you guys have had something special there for, you know, the whole time Brady's been there. And I said, yeah, absolutely. And can we just say, like, right now, just flat out, can we just end the discussion at all, period, about, I mean, come on, Brady is 10-4 against Manning.
But you know what? I was thinking about that, and I hear that. I would probably take Brady if I had to choose. But I would like to know, if Belichick was Manning's coach, how much better he would have been.
That's,
I mean, even
fair.
In that game Sunday
sure.
night, if Belichick was on the other side of the field, how much more of a chance the Broncos would have had. I think Belichick makes a big difference in Brady's career, and I think he would have had he been Manning's coach as well.
Okay, you know, I actually kind of agree with you.
A lot of those one-and-dones in the playoffs wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, but one thing I will say, though, is, I mean, it is so absolutely evidently clear that Brady is, I mean, I have never seen a quarterback handle the cold weather better than Brady does. I mean, I'm sorry, I just...
No, he's great, yeah.
Manning looked like just a frigid old man there with his hands in his, you know, in his little warmer, you know, on, you know, by his crotch or whatever. He's just kind of standing there shivering on the field. I mean... There was the touchdown sort of Gronkowski. I know it was only like a 15-yard throw, but, I mean, if you watch the replay on that, I mean, that was a laser throw by Brady. I mean, it was perfect spiral, just a rocket right in the back of the end zone. I mean, I've never seen a quarterback handle the cold weather as well as Brady does.
He really is, and a guy from California to boot.
Well, you know what I actually think it is we know when doubted, he's better. You know, you can't beat this team. This defense is great. The Steelers are... I think he knows that weather brings doubt, and he takes it as sort of like a personal affront or a personal challenge to prove, you know, I'm not a California boy. I can do. Now, he's good at it. Like, you know, the big hands. He has the physical attributes, the tight spiral. But I also think he takes it as a type of challenge to prove that not even the weather can get the great Tom Brady down.
Mike's in Texas. Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Hey.
I just wanted to call in, first time caller.
Bunga bunga.
And just wanted to comment about the game, how spectacular it was. It was totally different from the first half to the second. Stuck in there the whole game. And I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on Jamie Collins and Logan Ryan, how they played. And then on Stephen Ridley and what you think his future is. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Mike.
I thought Collins.
Showed up.
I think he had a certain job to do when he did it.
Yeah, I thought he showed up. I thought he bothered some of those short, shallow crossing routes that they like to run. I thought his presence was felt by the Welkers of the world. I thought he did a good job tackling. Ryan made a big pick. Otherwise, I didn't really.
But that was a nice pick.
No,
that was
a good play.
A legit play.
That was a good play.
That was. You know, we've been talking about Harmon and Ryan had made plays, quote unquote, without making them happen. I thought he made that play happen. That was a legit pick.
For Collins, positive sign.
Are we just going to keep ignoring the Ridley question?
The other thing, I mean, people, you know, they're starting to
pile up.
You're
just going to keep going on and pass it every time?
What do you do with the with
Ridley? He's no longer the lead back on my team.
Well, you know, a lot of people, we had an email that I haven't gotten to, but basically saying, you know, geez, I think the Patriots have underutilized Brandon Bolden. Brandon Bolden has had a knee injury, and I think even when they brought him in, when they had to, basically, he can't cut yet, really. I don't think he's good straight ahead, but I don't think he was able to go east-west that well, and that's a problem. I mean, if you don't use Ridley, you've completely, and Bolden's knee doesn't get better just overnight, you've completely taken away the big play on the run. I mean, anything over 10 yards, forget about it. You're not going
to
get it.
Well, I'm just ready to turn it over to Vereen, personally. I'm ready to say Vereen is my back.
Yeah, and I don't want
then
any part
I can
of
use
Bolden.
Ridley or Blunt or Bolden when I if I want to do a 4-minute drive or whatever. And I know it's a little weird to say I'd use Ridley in that, but to me, Vereen is now the lead
it
back.
It is weird
on this
because
team.
If you're not using Ridley in the beginning of the game, you're not going to use him in
but
a
I'm
crucial
not a running
situation
team.
Like
I'm
that.
Still a passing team. I'm still a spread it out team. Shane Vereen is enough of a running back for that.
No, so now you're using him more like Marshall Faulk, where he's on
I
the
want,
field yes, all the
I,
time.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I would be fine with Ridley and Vereen. But at this point, I don't think you have an alternative. I think it has to be all Vereen.
So you guys have given up.
I don't want any of Bolden.
Yeah.
I don't want Bolden.
No, but as far as Ridley goes, you guys have given up.
Yeah, I'm moving on. I like him. He says all the right things. But at some point, the proof is in the pudding, and the pudding's on the floor.
I don't think he's good enough to put up with the fumbles.
Right. I think that's where the big play thing is a little weird, too.
Where I separate
He's medium plays. He's never been a big
but
play.
I don't even think you get that without him on the field.
Well, you might.
I mean, with Vereen, could pop one, but it's not.
Oh, Vereen
not,
will definitely
wait a minute.
Pop.
You get that with Vereen? I mean, with Ridley?
Yes.
No, you don't.
He's had
runs
of 35, 40 yards.
Hmm. Maybe run of, but
yeah,
it's
few and far between.
He hasn't had those.
I
thought for sure that you were going to get a more dynamic element when the reins were handed from Benny to Ridley. It hasn't happened.
Oh, I think
it hasn't happened.
I think, oh, come on. You've even admitted that.
Fred, go and look at the stats.
Paul, you. Yes, I will look at
he
the
stats. He has not had those 40-yard runs that I thought we were going to get.
Runs that were 4 yards for Green Ellis are 10 yards for Ridley, easily.
But that's not dynamic.
That's not what I said.
But yes, okay, he's dynamic within 12 yards.
He's better than Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. That's
much,
not what I said,
much,
though.
Much better.
No, he's not much, much better.
I think he is.
First of all, he doesn't hold the ball.
Other than that.
Well, that's a big other than.
Okay, but I'm just talking about the running. He's much
he has
better
been
than
very
Green
similar
Ellis.
To Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis had about, what, 1,050 yards that year?
Go.
Something like that. 1,100, maybe a little bit less
knocking
than 1,100.
On the door of 1,100.
With 12 touchdowns. This guy got you 1,200 with 12 touchdowns.
He's flashier.
Neither one of them gives you the big.
There's a lot more moving and there's a lot more
neither
stuff.
Neither one of them gives you a big play.
Oh, see, I
he's
just
better than Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I thought he was on another planet from Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
I think
he hasn't been.
I think
so
when
far.
Ridley came back this year, he was a difference maker from the get go.
Fred, I understand that you have a crush on him, and that's okay. We all have our pet guys. I do too. I'm not making fun of you. I have my crushes on different guys too. That they can do no wrong, and I see only
the
good.
I remember at the time, you guys.
I thought
agreed
Ridley
with me.
I thought Ridley.
He's the best runner on the team.
I thought Ridley was light years better than Ben Jarvis Green Ellis at this time last year. I have been proven wrong. He is a little bit better, but he does not offer you this big play threat that I thought he did. Wow. And I would rather see Shane Vereen get those opportunities because I think he would offer that. It seems like all the other backs have at least, I mean, even Bolden, who I just said I don't want any part of, had a 33-yard run the other day.
Yeah. I think you're letting the fumbles cloud what
no.
you're seeing.
We've been saying
no,
this
I'm letting
year.
The average per carry cloud it. He's a little bit
really,
more than 4 yards a carry.
I really see that Ridley has been running well since he's been back. And it's a shame. It's
he's
just
run
a shame.
Well, but take the big plays out of it. You
see, but
you,
this is
you,
what
you
I'm
started
talking about.
With big plays. He doesn't have them, and this isn't a late thing. I can remember when we talked about it on the preseason broadcast because people made fun of me for saying he didn't finish runs. Remember, he had that long run that the
yeah, when
Fridge jumped
when
on
Andy
his back.
Said when Andy suggested that he take the leap to be a 2,000-yard back.
I misspoke. I said 1,200, 1,500. I accidentally continued the progression.
But you know, this is part of the thing. Is I feel like the upside with Ridley is being exaggerated based on what we've seen over the last year and a half. Just the other day in that game, I heard a lot of people say, and he was off to such a good start too. Well, was he? He had 4 carries for 14 yards.
Well, he had 2 7-yard runs
and 2 nothing-yard runs.
No, the fourth carry was the fumble, I believe.
For nothing, he got hit at the line of scrimmage.
No,
no
I
yards.
Know, but
That counts.
That's the fumble carry. Of his three runs, he had two for 7 yards.
But like Blunt had a 7-yard run and fumbled on it. He got hit at the line of scrimmage and fumbled. It's a 0-yard run.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to just go by four carries, two of them were good and two of them were bad.
Yeah.
So he wasn't off to this great start.
See, I think he was running well.
I do too.
I would consider that he was running well and he put the ball on the ground. He shied away.
I don't that's the part. I can that's look beyond part. That. It, you know, well, my eye test.
Right.
You know,
and what my eye tells me is he's not a big play back,
well.
Fred.
He's been running well.
Okay, well, I mean, you can say
he makes,
despite the fact that he doesn't do what you say he does, gets, you can say that.
He gets yards when they're not there, which is important on this team because the offensive line hasn't been playing necessarily that well. You need a guy who can get you those extra 2 yards when they're not necessarily blocked for you, and he can do that.
That is true, but he also puts the ball on the ground
and
takes possessions away from a team that every
and
game comes
down
to one.
And that's the problem, and that's why it's a damn shame.
And it all
See,
comes
but
back
I would
to
put up
issue.
With the problem if he was doing the stuff that you suggested
It all
he
comes
does.
Back to one issue. He shies away from contact. Same this week. He saw the guy coming, and he turned away from him. How about do you ever just do the Adrian Peterson and lower your helmet and run a guy over? Or lower your helmet to bounce off him for
If I had
yards?
The ability to get the plays that everybody says that he has the ability to give me, and I thought he did too. You know,
well,
like
no,
like Charles.
You guys
and
are
like
you're in your little
Jamal
fight
Charles.
Here.
No, I'm not. I'm saying
he has
I can't
runs
put up
that
with
are
fumble.
Nice between 4 and 20 yards. He doesn't hit big plays, but he consistently gives you a little bit of burst so that it's more than 4.
Right.
But he never turns the corner or beats a safety to make it more
I
than
believe,
20.
Yeah, and
that's
I
where
agree
he
with
is.
That.
He's
I
in that
with,
tween away
Adrian
though.
Adrian Peterson or Jamal Charles.
Or anybody. Most backs with the number of carries he has have a lot more long runs. LeGarrette Blunt is the perfect example.
A lot of guys with a lot less carries.
Every year, he has long runs. When he was 1,000-yard back, he had 40, 50, 60-yard runs. Yeah. For some reason, Ridley has not proven himself capable of hitting big plays.
Yeah, I think he was a good runner, except for the
and I also
the
think,
drops.
I also think that he, I think he's a good runner too, Fred. I just don't think he's as good a runner as you do, that's all.
It's a shame. But it's
I,
a real
it
shame.
It is a shame. I feel bad for him. His career in New England is petering out right now. Literally, as we speak, it's coming to an end.
But I also think that, unlike a lot of the guys that we talk about, I think that, like Fred, you said he turns like 4-yard runs into 8-yard runs. I think he does. I think he's a hard guy to tackle. I don't think he makes you miss. I think he breaks some tackles. I think he maximizes and falls forward. I don't think he makes guys miss. And I think he lacks that. And I thought he had that ability.
And I think
I thought he had a dynamic ability that Benny didn't have.
I think he was in the process of adding something to his repertoire this year where he gets to the line, it's not necessarily there. Instead of trying to spin and make, he was bouncing back and picking another hole. That's something he hadn't been done. In other words, he was keeping parallel to the line of scrimmage and not turning his back or his shoulders and picking another hole. And that's something he hadn't been doing in past years. He started doing it this year and it was working. You
so
know?
Now what do you do? To answer, you know, to get back to the original
question.
No,
I think you guys are He's right. Done. I think you got to use Vereen more.
He's a backup.
You know, and depending on Bolden's health, you got to use him a little bit more too.
Yeah, I think he's a backup. The committee is in full force, and I think Vereen is now the first in line of the committee.
All right, let's get back to the phones. Good little arguments. Break. Phil in New York. Hey, Phil.
Hey, how you doing?
Good,
Philip.
One thing, it's actually Bill. I couldn't get him to take my name right. It's Bill with a B.
Oh, okay. Sorry. He's a moron.
He was distracted by Facebook.
First of all, I want to say thank you, guys. I really enjoy the show. I get to work in front of my computer a bit, so I get to listen quite a bit.
Well, good to have you listening.
And the other thing, also, all the other fans, they should buy the paper and help support the show.
I agree. 1-800-494-PATS.
Or go to the App Store and buy Patriots Football Daily for your iPad.
Yeah, I'm still Android, so I can't do that one. But. Yeah.
Fred keeps promising there's one of those coming. I think he's lying, but he keeps saying it's coming.
Well, we'll keep telling him we'll keep looking for it then.
Okay.
The one thing I want to make a comment on the game, because I just... First of all, I'm in Eastern New York, so I'm surrounded by Jets and Giants fans everywhere. I'm a diehard Pats fan, so I have them outnumbered by one. It doesn't matter the rest. And the officiating is just killing me this year because I was right there with Brady going up to yell at the ref because some of these are just so blatant. And what are we going to do with the referees if they keep making mistakes the way that they are?
I just think that with all these new rules or points of emphasis. I think these refs, I mean, Paul thinks they were always bad, and he might have a case for that. But I think this year, there's just so many crazy non-calls and calls that Something has to be done. I mean, not just the Patriots game, but, I mean, last night, RG3 was had a face mask and kicked in the balls or punched in the balls on the same play, and they caught neither of them. You know,
I watched that exact play. I saw that, and I agree with you on that one.
Jason Campbell got slammed in the head, too, this week, and they didn't call it.
Yeah.
Smash in the face.
I mean, there's just so many non-calls that they're just missing. And
that said, Sunday night, I actually liked the way the game Sunday night was officiated. I thought they let them be pretty physical in the secondary. I thought both teams got away with probably some plays that would have been called holding or illegal contact. I mean, I think that Arrington had one that he looked like he was on, I think, Welker's back, and then certainly Quentin Jammer was on Kembrell Tompkins' back on the play that you're talking about, Bill. And I thought overall they let him play a little bit, which I'd rather that kind of game than a flag show.
Yeah. It just seems like when we get called on when we get called on a penalty or a penalty's missed, when they didn't call that one on Tompkins, it was you know, I mean, that was a pretty critical third, and I forget what the yardage was on it, but
I just thought it was so obvious. It was a second down. Middle of the field.
It was a second down that play happened.
It was just so obvious.
What, the second, okay.
They threw a bomb, I think, with the full intention of getting a makeup call in the next play.
I do too.
I'll stick with Brady and say they've gotten their share of calls over the years. I think they get a lot of third down calls.
Doesn't mean you shouldn't get one that's obvious.
I don't know what's obvious. I mean, your obvious and my obvious are not the same.
All right.
It seemed like the ref was right on the side of the field, and you know, maybe because television gives you such a clear view of everything. But I mean, he had him by the jersey, and he actually spun him. So it was just, or take the one with Gronk last weekend. I mean, that was just blatant. The ref called it, and they overturned it.
The Gronk one is, I think, inarguable. That was blatant. I thought there was some room on this one. I definitely thought he turned him, but I see that a lot. On quick slants, I see guys jump quick slants a lot.
Well, they've let that go a lot. They're letting it go more this year.
I think Tlaib is excellent at that. Tlaib killed Demaryius Thomas on a screen, just ripped him right around, spun him like a top on a screen, and they didn't call. I think that for some reason they're a lot more lenient when the contact comes before the ball arrives, as opposed to two guys running down the sideline and there's like hand fighting, and like every little thing gets called on those.
Well, maybe is it a subtle, all these complaints by defenders that you've taken too much away from us? They subtly said, okay, we're going to give you a little something back. We're going to let you fight a little bit more, a little more contact. Because otherwise, you know, it's going down the road of defenders can't do anything.
Right.
And maybe they gave them a little something back.
It could be. Let's go to New Jersey. We're all over the map. Sean's in New Jersey. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Can you hear me?
We sure can.
Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. It just sounds oddly silent all of a sudden on the other end.
Oh, I don't know, but we can hear you, so go.
Good, great. Hey, I usually listen to the podcast, so this is great to be actually listening to you guys live for once.
Are you sick? You home from work today?
Playing a little hooky.
Oh, you son of a gun.
Yeah, I know. It's bad. But I got issues at home, so.
Oh, hope you get those
cleared
up.
I can excuse this time. Yeah, but anyway, it's great to talk to you guys live. I never got a chance to do it. But, that game the other night was epic. Let me tell you, there's so many things you can talk about with that game. I guess basically the two things that kind of stood out to me a little bit, maybe I'll take the second one first. You guys were just talking about it. The non-call in the overtime on that second and fourth play. Paul just said something I thought that was interesting. You think that they went for that long pass right after that because they were looking for a makeup call?
Oh, we both do.
Yeah, they both said that during the game.
We said it at the time. Yeah.
That was my first reaction. Now,
because that's a low odds play.
Is it logical?
Right.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But I think there's a chance.
Because when they did that play, I was so upset because to me, I called Rook's show last week and I complained about the same thing. It seems to me this season I've seen the Patriots on third and short so many times go for long, low percentage completion passes. I don't understand why they can't just get the first down and be happy with the first down.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't necessarily, that hasn't popped off the field at me this year. I haven't, I'm trying to think back, and
I've seen it
in a lot of games where they have a third and short.
I don't get that same impression.
Well, they don't have Welker anymore. So that's the first. Your starting point was Welker was third down for a long time here. You know, so there's definitely a difference to the offense there. And even though they replaced him and people say, well, you have Edelman, you have Amendola, it's different now. It just is. Even if those guys have some of the similar skills, I would say that might be part of what you're seeing and or not seeing. But I'm going to have to keep
Gronk, though. I mean, you can't get Gronk for 5 yards. He doesn't know where the sticks are.
Well, I'm all for Gronk getting the ball as often as possible.
I think they have gone long on some of those more often. But
I mean, I remember last week, the problem I have, they don't complete enough.
They don't complete enough of them. I actually think that's a good time to take a shot because I think that's when you're playing the sticks. And I think that's a good time to pop a guy, especially a guy like Edelman, who's probably not the focus, you know, or Tompkins or Dobson, one of those guys. I just don't think they haven't executed well enough on those.
That pass was a really badly thrown pass.
Well, I think Brady.
Well, yeah, he threw the ball about eight yards out of bounds.
Right.
But on a windy day, with the wind at his back, who knows, that might have been one of those that took off.
Right. Now, that's one I can go with Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
You know, given those conditions, probably not the best time to try that. Right. Oh, I know what we'll do. We'll go deep on third and three to try
to trick percentage became lower percentage.
Because even when you're with the wind, listen, those guys were having a hard time controlling it the other night.
Yeah. Fred's in Canada. Hey, Fred.
It's Chris, actually.
Oh, Chris. It clearly says Fred.
This guy's a moron. We got answering the phone back here.
Yeah, it's Chris from New Brunswick. Last week he called me Craig, and the week before he called me Chris. So one out of three, not too bad.
He's got it out for
anyway. I enjoyed the game on Sunday. I wasn't able to watch it. I worked night, so I was pretty upset that I actually went to work on that night and didn't stay home. At the first quarter, when Ridley fumbled the ball, and Brady gets stripped back, and then Blunt dropped it, I yelled in the lunchroom, it was our lunch break, and I said, man, can the guys hold on their own balls for Pete's sake? You know, it just kept looking horrible. And I went in, and there was a couple of Denver fans, and they were all cheering, and I put the game on the loudspeaker for work so we could all listen to it. And it was pretty amazing to see that we actually had a third quarter that we were proud of. I remember earlier in the year, I can't remember who we were playing. We lost the game probably yet, maybe? I don't know. Anyways, we had a third quarter where we just crapped the bed. We didn't do anything.
Yeah, third quarters had been bad this season, yep.
Yeah, and about time we actually, Brady got the guys to come back out on the field, showed great resilience, and I think the sideline is the best place for Ridley. You know, he can't fumble the ball. If he fumbles the ball on the sideline, it doesn't really hurt us too much. So that's my opinion. And I don't know who we're playing this Sunday, but I hope we can go forward with the... Pardon?
You don't know who we're playing this week?
Well, I haven't looked at the schedule. Okay.
It's the Texans. Right. They've lost 9 in a row. It was a prime time. Okay. I mean, it was an afternoon game that got moved to 1 o'clock. It's a game that's faded in the importance of the NFL landscape.
Okay, so yeah, we're going to win over the Texans, sure.
We're going to kick their asses, Case Keenum going down.
Yeah, and I think we're spreading our, you know, our AFC, we look at the Jets and the Miami Dolphins who, you know, they lost again this week, so we're putting a good spread on that AFC champion, AFC East division, so it's pretty good.
Yep.
Anyways, I'll let you guys go, and thanks for having me on the show.
Okay, Fred, thanks for calling.
At least he knows what division we're in. That's a step in the right direction.
And that made, you know, the weekend even that much more sweet.
That call?
No, having the Jets lose.
Oh.
I just love watching the Jets lose. I just love it. Oh, nothing makes me feel better except when the Patriots win. It's just.
How would you have felt it with a tie?
Sorry, Chris. I know that you had told us what your name was.
After
but
being
evidently, no one wanted to listen.
After being behind 24-0, I would have been okay.
You would have been okay with a tie?
After being behind 24-0? Hell yeah.
Okay. I'm just wondering how people would have taken a tie. You know, I have heard so many people rant in the last week, Bruins related and different things, that ties are un-American. And I've never really understood what the hell that means.
Right.
Like, it's un-American.
I mean, these two
tie?
Guys, you know, they fought, you know, for.
Maybe we can argue about it.
What?
Ties. Because you know, I hate ties. I think they're un-American.
I know, but you
what
fight.
Does that mean? They're communists?
You play
ties
for,
are communists?
I think you play a competition
play
to find
five
a winner.
You quarters and you have the same score. Okay, I can live with that. You know.
Right.
I think both teams would have been very disappointed with a tie. I think Denver would have been much more disappointed than the Patriots, but the Patriots did have the lead with, 3 minutes left.
Yep.
and seemingly all the momentum at home with the wind, two opportunities. And let's face it, they came probably a failed punt catch away from tying. Because I don't think Denver was going to have enough time to run down the field to score.
Right.
And
they weren't throwing down the field.
No. And I think if they had gotten one first down, probably the Patriots wouldn't have gotten the ball back.
Right.
Had they not turned it over. So that was very close to a tie.
Yep, it was. Ann's in Second Colorado tie of the Springs. Day. Hey, Ann, how you doing?
Good, and yourself?
That must have been a sweet win for you.
I just had to call to tell you I am reveling. Absolutely reveling and walking around with my shirt on. It was just, as you know, just like, it was mind-boggling. Mind-boggling.
It was interesting. Now, I wonder, as a Patriots fan, when you watch the end of that game, do you still have a little soft spot for Welker? I mean, you're out there in Welker country now, and he kind of cost that team the game. How did you feel about that?
Well, you know what? I feel bad because he's a nice guy, but it regardless of that, I'm a Pats fan, period. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
Were you guys in your normal bar with all the other Patriots fans watching?
Yeah, we were at the Fox and Hound Bar here in Colorado Springs, and I really thought, you know, work night, school night, it's on national TV, we're going to get 25 people. We had like 87.
Wow. And did everyone stay?
Everyone stayed.
Wow, that's great.
One person had to leave because her babysitter had to be home at a certain time, because once we went into overtime, she says, now I got to leave. So one person left. Otherwise, everybody stayed to the very end.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was just wicked, wicked cool. It was just beyond belief. And now I'm wearing my shirt everywhere. My veterinarian, we had a vet. He had to call me yesterday. So just everybody saying, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Yeah, oh, yeah, make sure you keep your shirt on, okay?
Yeah, that didn't come out right.
No, it did not. We all giggled.
I know what you meant, Ann. All right, Ann, thanks for calling in.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Yep.
This is a weird game. This left people like almost like a Super Bowl or like a big playoff game where people are like just giddy about where they were and what they were doing and who they were with and how it happened.
I think you're right. I think it did have like that kind of, I don't know, special, like we won a special game type of feeling. Yeah.
Do you think most teams would have packed it in at halftime? I'm not saying most teams would have been able to come back. I think the Patriots are special in that regard. But do you think most teams would have packed it in at home, down 24-0, and not even played the second half? Just mailed
it in? I don't
know.
That's hard to say.
I think any good team would have come out and said, let's go down and put a touchdown on the board and see what happens.
The question is, would any 7-3 team pack it in?
Right.
I don't think so.
Right. Like, I mean, if it's 24-0 to Houston next week, I don't anticipate the Texans will come out, with a bunch of piss and vinegar and looking to make a comeback in the second half. But, you know, a 7-3 team, like you said, I'm not surprised they didn't pack it in.
Let's go to Chris and BU. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
First off, I want to say you guys have a great show. Some of the only intelligent football talk I hear on a weekly basis.
Wow, that doesn't say much for everybody else, I'll tell you that.
I mean, it's true.
Okay, thank you.
I agree, ties are totally un-American. I think communist is actually a great parallel to draw there. I think they are communists.
Yeah, see, I don't understand that. I understand, like, the whole socialistic communist, like,
everybody gets
the same.
Something.
But in that, you don't compete. It's the exact opposite. This is capitalism, where I competed, and we just happened to come out even. Right?
Right.
I mean, I competed. It's not like I was given a tie. I earned a tie, just like the other team earned or didn't earn a win, and I didn't earn a win. Whatever it is, we earned the final result. We were not given anything in a communist fashion.
As a fan, I've spent 3 hours watching the game, and I've earned a result.
Yeah, but as a player, you've spent 3 hours of your life and, like, shaved a couple of years off the back end getting a beating. It's not like you tried to tie. It was the ultimate competition. It played dead even.
If you're going to sacrifice all that, don't you want a winner or a loser?
Want to win. I want to win. No. Make no mistake. I'm not playing
for a tie. I want an outcome.
I want a win, but I don't want to do things that create a strange win, create an unfair victory. You played 5 quarters of football, 5 legitimate quarters of football, and you couldn't come out with a winner. You had a tie. I'm sorry. Are we going to have like a field goal kicking contest so that one team can go away? No. Woo, we won. We get the victory. Woo, because our kicker kicked a field goal. Look, ding, dong, ding.
That's why you won. Kicker kicked a field goal.
No, I mean like a shootout. I was coming up with a shootout example.
I know what you were coming up with.
Oh, shut up.
It's not the same thing.
So what do you do? You just keep playing?
Yeah, I would.
See how many concussions we can pick up in a single day?
Well, I mean, Andy has a point.
No, he doesn't.
At some point.
He's exaggerating to make his point.
No, but at some point, you got to say.
You played 75 minutes of football. So we're going to play 90 now. How long are we going to go? We got guys dropping like flies, limping off the field. How long do we go here before we say, these are two evenly matched teams in these conditions today?
I didn't have a problem with the overtime rules the way they were. First score wins. I had no problem with that.
Obviously, there's no ties.
You still would have had a tie.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, the whole thing about changing the rules, I think it is increasing the chances for ties.
No, but the bottom line is Sunday you would have had a tie in any system you used because you played five full quarters of football, essentially.
No.
And Wes Welker not pooped himself.
Football's different.
Ties are just extremely disappointing.
Well, disappointing is right, and both teams have the right to be disappointed.
Losing is disappointing, too.
But you've earned the result. There was nothing given to you. I mean, again, this branched off a little bit from the hockey shootout thing where you have sort of this fake ending. Where it's not really hockey.
That's why I said football's different. It doesn't have that.
Right. Because of the physical nature of football, you got to call an end to it at some point.
Right. At some point. I mean, like boxing. That'd be if boxing went on forever and they just let guys get pounded and taken off in stretchers and die.
Which they did back in the turn of the century, but they can't do that.
We're a little more modern. We're a little more educated.
Right.
So they should they just declare a winner?
This guy's from BU. He just wants extra brains to study.
Chris? Okay.
Yep. I wanted to ask about something I'm afraid you guys might dismiss pretty quickly, but I'm still a little bit of a fanboy of Josh Boyce.
Oh, well, you crazy.
Makes great moves at the line, and I don't see why. Josh Boyce. I know they're not the same kind of player, but I don't see why Dobson has earned more of a chance right now than Boyce has.
Well, I don't see the other hand of that, Chris. I don't have enough information on Boyce to make the kind of judgment you are.
What evidence do you have that Dobson hasn't earned that?
Well, Dobson was better than Boyce from July 28th.
Well, yeah. I mean, from what we saw.
Through the entirety of practice, he lined up better. He caught the ball better. He was more competitive in every way.
You know, Chris, at some point, you got to say, okay, maybe they are doing what's in the best interest of the football team. You know, yes, I agree with you. Boyce isn't getting the opportunities, but there's got to be a reason for that. You know,
I don't think they're just benching him. In practice, I'm sure, and it's not something we're able to see.
But somehow you saw him.
Hasn't done enough to gain more of an opportunity than Boyce has. I feel like Boyce might be able to do something with it.
How many training camp practices did you go?
But what did you see from Boyce? I don't disagree with you about Dobson and Tompkins. I think they've been sort of alternating as being semi-useful. You know, 1 week, one of them makes a couple of plays, and the other one does nothing, and then they alternate, it seems. But what about Boyce? Like, you made a comment, he has better moves at the line of scrimmage. Well, he played two snaps the game that he played, which is, two games ago.
I'm going back to preseason when I talk about that.
Again, what are you basing it on? I mean, how
many? He can get himself open. I think he can.
Well, the other guys got open, too, in preseason. They just haven't gotten open the regular season.
The Steelers? I don't think we're basing anything on that game.
No, I'm talking about the season, Chris.
Not Steelers.
I mean, Josh Boyce hasn't played in the season, so you can't base the season on anything Josh Boyce has
done. I'm saying, other than the preseason, Dobson has had multiple opportunities since. I've only seen him get open in that Steelers game. Everyone was open then.
Okay, but again, I'm wondering what you think Boyce is doing that's better than that.
I just think he needs more of a chance.
I would agree that he should be
active, and I would like to see him maybe return kicks and find a way to get him involved.
No,
but you know,
start with returning kicks.
Has he done anything to be in front of Dobson? No.
I mean, if there was a nice mild night, you might have seen Boyce activated and returning kicks, but not in.
You know what? That's not a bad point. Maybe that had something to do with that decision.
Absolutely.
He didn't trust to have a guy who hasn't had the ball.
Why not, boys?
because he doesn't have the experience at this point.
He hasn't had the ball in his hands really all year long, and now you're putting him out there in a game where, let's face it, there were 11 fumbles in that game.
Right.
By some guys that were very secure ball handlers, like Julian Edelman hasn't fumbled the ball all year, has he?
No.
He fumbled it twice.
For a game like Houston and we get ahead, throw him in there.
Yeah. No, I agree. I want to see, I'm intrigued by his speed. I want to see him out there. I'm just not necessarily seeing what he's done to earn it over the guys that have played. I want to see him in addition to.
I don't have much of an argument there, but I like the guy.
I like him too. Chris, I like him too. This gets back to Fred and I's argument about,
thanks, Chris.
About, you know, like you have your pets. Josh Boyce is one of my pets. Like I think there's some speed and athleticism there. That he's a big play threat waiting to happen. I have nothing to base it on because Andy made a comment way back at the beginning of the argument here from July, whatever. Dobson and Tompkins were well ahead of Josh right. Boyce and nothing has changed since then. Now I still have that affection for the speed because I think the speed is special. I think he has an ability that the other two don't have.
He does,
but that doesn't mean anything if he can't do the other things that you need to do.
I also think if he played more, he'd have some really bad plays that we would recall.
My guess is that you're right. Because I think
he'd have big plays,
there's
too.
There's probably been some examples in practice where he's just not getting it.
Because and probably starts with, like, lining up and, you know,
to not
running
be
to the
active
wrong side.
In all of those games when you had no Gronk, no Vereen, and no Amendola. And he wasn't active consistently.
And
in
no
that
kick
time.
Returner.
You know, he wasn't consistently active despite the fact that you were down three important weapons. Tells me that.
Right.
He ain't getting it yet.
All right. We'll take two more quick phone calls, then we'll take a break. Then we're going to get to your emails here in webradio at patriots.com and PFW in progress. Maurice is in South Carolina. Hey, Maurice.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, Mo.
Hey, what's going on? I talked to you guys last week. Right now I'm still working at the fire station, so two questions.
Still looking for that pole.
Yeah, I got two questions. Some of you guys... doubted the Patriots winning the game, and all right.
I didn't think the Patriots are going to win.
Yeah, and how far do you think we're going to go in the playoffs?
Paul thinks all the way.
Paul's got MetLife. He's booking his room today.
I think that Denver is going to be hard pressed to beat the Patriots in a playoff game after that. After what happened Sunday night,
my feeling is that they will go as far as their health will allow. That's what it comes down to.
My feeling is, you know, I'll tell you when they lose if they're going to lose, because that's what Fred's basically saying. Like,
no, I'm just saying.
Make a selection.
If you missed that whole thing. If they lose, he'll always have health to blame it on.
If they don't go deep in the playoffs, it'll be because of injuries.
Well, they're already injured beyond belief. I mean, defensively, they're like down seven starters or whatever the hell it is.
I know, but. I mean,
so you have your excuse already.
Did the Broncos lose because of health? No.
If the secondary doesn't get more healthy, then they're going to have problems.
I think they are going to lose in the playoffs. I do not think they're going to the Super Bowl. I think at some point some team's going to come in and make some plays and play a pretty clean football game and just take it away from them.
All right.
You let Mo go?
Marcus is in Miami.
No, Mo?
Hey, Marcus.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How you doing?
I'm good. Just had a couple questions. I know you guys are about to go to break. I know, to me, that first drive that we had the ball when Ridley fumbled the ball and it's one of those things where he kind of knew it was coming. I knew it was coming in Carolina. It's just one of those things that he got to work through it. I think that we were going to make a drive at that point. I mean,
I do too.
But with all those turnovers that we had, what do you think the score should have been had we had not had that first quarter? Do you think it could have been 45-ish in the Broncos score, 12, 20-ish? Because Peyton didn't really have too much things going. I knew we were going to win that game.
I think it might have been more like 17-17 or something like that.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think it was going to be a blowout either way, and I was stunned the way the Patriots turned the ball over the first three times like that, and I was equally as stunned when the Broncos turned it over three times in a row after that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because we talked about it. You know, if the game's going to go over, there's going to be turnovers that lead to easy touchdowns.
Right.
And then it happened and we were all stunned.
Right.
Like, we talked about it, but I guess you just don't expect it to happen. And do me a favor, Marcus. The next time you have a feeling that Ridley's going to fumble, hit me up on Twitter. I'll tweet it out for you.
Yeah, better yet, email Bill Belichick and let him know so we can take him out.
Ivan, get him out of there.
Use the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Marcus said he's going to fumble.
That Devin talked about, and we'll get him out of there.
Yeah, man. But well, hopefully we can get it together. And I have faith in Bolden. I got faith in Blunt. So hopefully we can. And I'm finally, they let go of Washington. Like, we're keeping him and paying him $1.3 million for what? just to sit on the bench and be Leon Washington. I mean, finally, hopefully we can get it together and make a run at this championship, because that fourth one has been eluding us, man.
I know. All right, thanks, Marcus. All right, that's Marcus in Miami. We're going to take a break now. Lots of emails coming in, some interesting questions and topics. We'll get right to that after this.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February, because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of that
really,
game?
Really, really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery.
Remember but they that? Take that field out, you know.
In trays,
yes,
they do.
But right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No, you got to make it.
But you didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts...
Jesus.
Well, the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here at PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. We're going to take a lot of emails here now, though. Webradio@patriots.com. And speaking of emails, after the game, I got a lot of emails from fans congratulating me on being spot on. I do have to give some credit to the players and Bill Belichick, though.
Wes Welker.
But, you know, yes, I was.
Did you, just out of curiosity, Freddie.
Yeah.
I'm imagining that it got pretty ugly in the first half.
Oh, on the blog?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you
got ugly in
make
the press
any...
box? Don't you remember him sighing and grunting? And...
Oh, God, yeah. No, I live it.
One guy literally called me an idiot for saying, well, maybe the Patriots will catch the Denver defense napping in the second half. He's like, you're an idiot. They're not going to be napping.
Wow, some guys are pretty angry.
Yeah.
So did you? You didn't make any proclamations or anything at the half. I'm just wondering.
No,
idiot.
No.
Just saying, like, come on. Yeah. Because I got to be honest with you, I thought the game was over. I'm not going to lie, but I didn't expect. Let's put it this way: I didn't expect them to lose 48-0. I would have been shocked if they lost by more points than they were down by at the half.
Yeah.
I would have been absolutely shocked.
Because. You dug your hole by turning it over three straight times. You're probably not going
to
do that.
Again, that gets back to Belichick being more upset with Carolina. It wasn't like a team, failure. It was turnovers by individuals that, Jesus, if we hadn't had those, we were doing okay.
Yes. And physical, I would say
physical one-on-one breakdowns.
One turnover, really. I mean, a strip sack happens. A guy got beat badly by a really good pass rusher. And on the other play, I still think LeGarrette Blount got knocked out. I still think he was knocked the fuck out. And I think there's a chance. So really you have the one kind of soft one by Ridley that is the bad, bad turnover, which obviously swayed the game. I mean, they ended up with a score out of it, and you didn't end up with a score.
Oh, yeah, that was
a
14-point
like
swing because I think they were going in. It was a 60-yard fumble return, so they were on the move there.
Right. Let's see.
Quick news update.
Yes.
A.J. Francis has left the Patriots practice squad to join the Dolphins.
Oh, okay. Good for him. Noel in...
You say that with, like, contempt. You're such an a-hole. Like, he left us. He had the audacity to look for a real job.
You really are.
The tone of your voice is just embarrassing.
It's more Miami signing one of our practice squad guys. Yeah, I hope that helps you, you bunch of losers.
Now I'm on with you. 3-0, our time.
Right.
Well, your time stopped in September,
I've
apparently.
Always told you,
Let's get that guy from the Patriots practice squad. That'll, put us over the top.
I hate the Dolphins.
Yeah, good luck.
The way Fred hates the Jets.
I don't hate anyone.
You just don't like anyone.
You hate everyone.
That's a good point.
Maybe you don't hate everyone. I think you do, but you don't like anybody.
I dislike most. Don't really hate a lot, though.
See, I think you do. I just think you're lying.
I don't lie.
But you don't like anything or anybody except for your family.
I like my family.
I said except for your family, and even then.
And I like Danny Picard's accent.
I like Danny Picard too.
Yeah, if anyone has listened to Danny Picard on the radio,
it's Picard.
He does not have a South Boston accent.
He's
got a
okay. So just clarify it for me, since you're an expert on accents.
Yeah,
give me what he does, Go.
First down.
Now give me what he should do if he were really from South Boston.
What did you just say?
Like, instead of first down, he'll say first down.
Okay.
That's no, a New
well,
York.
First down isn't really a Boston
know, kind of
or
a
New York.
No,
thing.
Give me something with an R. New York, you
like,
say
how,
down.
Like, how would he say coffee?
Well, if you're from Boston.
You'd say coffee.
Yeah, coffee.
Not coffee.
Right.
Coffee would be from New York.
Exactly.
And that's not how he talks.
Yeah.
Now I'm just confused.
No,
give me an easy one, an R.
Like,
what does an R sound like?
Picard.
If I'm from Boston, you say New York.
Okay, now what
but
about?
New York is how they say it in New York.
I just, his name to me is perfect. He calls himself Danny Picard.
Kevin,
that
can
is
we get some,
like Boston through and through.
Can we get some Danny Picard audio?
How are we going to get that?
We don't have, like, podcasts
have
or
it.
Something.
He might have it.
It's not on the Facebook page.
Yeah. Anyway.
He's going to be looking for Fanny Ricard because he can't do names.
See, it's funny because he can't do names. I don't even know him from Adam. I don't even know what he looks like. And he's probably, hey, they were talking about you
it's
on Patriots.com today.
He's a nice
skinny
guy.
Little.
Yeah.
Nice
I
guy.
Like him.
I just thought, I was like, wow, this guy's trying to be Francesa.
I think he's just trying to be Danny Picard.
Is what I
actually heard a little of Toucher and Rich this morning. You know that Francesa drop they play all the time when Francesa evidently is talking about when he used to work at CBS and they'd be in the studio show and it'd be like 3 o'clock and they would call it the witching hour. It's the witching hour. There's a lot of twists and turns and all the games, and you'd write down who was winning all the 1 o'clock games at 3 o'clock, and then you go back and see that like half of them the other team ended up winning. Well, they make fun of him all the time, and Toucher ended up his son, I guess he's got a really young son, who's walking around the house going, it's the witching hour. There's twists and turns. He's like 4 or 5 years old.
Fred, we got to play some of this. There's like a bit on YouTube of him actually trying to lose his Boston accent.
Okay. Maybe that's it. Maybe he's trying to go the other way.
Well, he doesn't do it on the radio.
Danny, feels good, kid. But you got to do something about that Boston accent.
Now that's awesome.
C-A-R.
C-A-R.
R.
That's Boston.
Ha.
R. 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 Car.
Well, if that's what you think, well, thanks for the call, Jimmy. I'm going to take Miguel on the line now. What's going on, Miguel?
I'm going to go to the set this time. I'm going to send that to my phone. It's over here. So,
Adam, how many times do I have to say it? If it's not in English, don't put it through.
It's actually really funny.
That is, okay.
He sounds fine to me.
No, but that...
He has a Boston accent.
That,
he's from
that,
Boston.
Yeah, that was Boston. But
oh, that was Boston.
Not over the weekend.
The one time Fred heard it was not Boston.
Not over the weekend. He's trying to go the other way, I guess, because
you know
that's
what?
Not what he sounded like.
Listen, there's only room at the top of the pedestal of stubbornness for Andy and I. If you want to join in, we'll let you, but you don't usually...
I don't know
you
what
don't
Boston
usually,
accent sounds
but
like.
You don't usually shit... Fred.
What?
The guy is from Boston.
He called you Frederick earlier.
He is so the prototypical Bostonian.
This weekend.
Not just Bostonian.
Now, this is
the inner city Bostonian
is
dripping out of his accent.
Now, this is the first time I've heard him, so maybe he's trying to go the other way. I don't know.
But if you go the other way from Boston, you get into a New York accent?
Maybe.
You sound funny sometimes like I do.
Yeah.
Because I'm always trying to cover my Boston accent, and sometimes I sound funny when I do it.
Could be. All right, let's get to the emails. Noel in Denver, great win, and when watching it and having Bronco fans in your face at half, tells me what I've always believed: very unknowledgeable fans. Let me ask, because I believe
I'm knowledgeable. Shouldn't be happy when you're up 24-0.
Because I believe this is to be true. I felt in the beginning we were progressing each week, and I never have believed in KC or Denver. Forget the turnovers of the first half. We won this game handedly. And Brady is by far the better of the two QBs. I realize that rather having Welker creates controversy, but let's be real. Brady makes everyone better. I want to know how you guys feel about our chances now. Deformed Goober. I guess he's...
Oh, that's accurate.
That must be Manning. We did all this with a banged-up defense and a bunch of rookies.
He was signing off Deformed Goober.
Might be Belichick's best coaching year ever.
Sure. I put it up there.
Is he coach of the year? Him or Andy Reid?
I would say Belichick right now, because I think Andy Reid had – I think you're finding out that Kansas City was a little bit better than 2-14, and I don't take anything away from Andy Reid, but I do think this is Belichick's best coaching job ever.
And remember, if Brady wins the Super Bowl, that's the bottom line. He's the greatest quarterback in the history of the game. Remember everybody was saying that in the summer? If he wins with these bunch of characters, hands down, no more argument, close the door, Brady best ever. So we got to stick with that, right?
Alex from Philly, you can keep your Manning. I'll take my Brady. Wow, what a game. Despite crapping themselves in the first half, the team was able to pull their heads out of their collective asses. And in no time at all, stormed Brady in 31 answered points. Later, the world was right again. Luckily, Ridley's fumbleitis spread to Denver in the second half. It was great to see this D step up, this offense step up, the special team stepping up, Welker dropping balls, and most of all, Manning's face once again. Also, big kudos to our best defender of the night. No, not Tlaib, the wind. I now love the
That's
wind.
That's what Tlaib said.
Lastly, not to take the shine off a great win, but I must admit that I am now done with Ridley. He needs to go at the end of the season, and we need a replacement. It's in his head at this point, and the ball is seldom in his hands too often. It's a shame because he is talented, but we can't wait around until he learns how to hold on to a football. Besides that, Patriots Nation should hold their heads up high and have a little extra pep in their step this week. I know I did when I went to work on Monday. Sure.
They have that. You can feel that.
See, that's the thing about it is it's the pride. It's being able to, you know, when people know you're a Patriots fan or a fan of another team that has a big win like that, being able to, you know.
Walk around like Scott Pioli.
That's right. That's right.
Chest held high.
That's why it means so much to a lot of fans. It's just.
Well, it's also the supposed darling of the AFC that everybody from here already wanted to tear down and now can tear them down because you beat them, and it's Brady Manning. I mean, it's perfect, all lumped into one.
Let's see. David writes in. He's got some comments and observations from Sunday night. One, when the Patriots went down something similar to this game against the Ravens a couple years ago in the second round of the playoffs, how come we couldn't respond similarly? Were the Ravens that much better, and was Brady not into it that day? I think they were. I think their defense was way better.
The Ravens were better.
I think the Ravens were better, but the difference is they didn't turn the ball over four times in the second half.
Right.
It's very simple. The Patriots only fell behind because they turned the ball over. They only caught up because Denver turned the ball over. Now, unfortunately, we didn't get to see what would have happened if it was clean. Right. But I think what you said, Fred, it probably would have been around 17, 20, 20 to 20. It probably would have been a very tightly contested, much lower scoring game. Given the conditions.
I also think that Ravens was Brady lost his offense, Wes Welker. You know, that offense had to change dramatically, whereas this offense he's been building towards, struggling through the year as they learned and changed, and now we've all said it, we feel like the offense is back, so this offense is actually here again.
Yeah, and I do think, I mean, if I remember, Baltimore, I think, did turn it over. I think there was a punt that they mishandled, and I think Flacco may have thrown a pick in the second half, but it wasn't the calamity of errors that was the second half for Denver as the calamity of errors that was the first half for New England.
It is kind of funny. You're Jack Del Rio. You're like, I'm going to be smart. I'm not going to put Trindon Holiday back. I'm going to put the trusty Wes Welker back there.
Well, plus,
son of a!
But not only that, if you're Denver at half and you're thinking to yourself, if we can run the ball effectively in the second half with a 24-0 lead, we're
right.
probably home free.
Right.
And they ran the ball every bit as successfully in the second half as they did in the first. And it took 17 minutes for you to fall behind.
Right. Well, all the loose ball guys did live up to their reputations. Ridley.
Monty Ball.
Holiday,
Trindon Holiday.
Monty Ball, even LeGarrette Blount is a loose ball guy.
Is ball security only taught to our wide receivers because obviously our running backs don't grasp the concept?
They don't grasp the ball either.
Why was it that Amendola seemed to get shut down, but they couldn't stop Edelman when Amendola makes all the money and Edelman is picking up the scraps still? Why were they able to shut down Amendola and not Edelman?
I think Amendola was having a hard time.
Well, they probably focused on Amendola. They probably said, we're not going to let this guy beat us. And
I don't know for sure, but to me, I give Amendola a free pass. I just don't think he is healthy, anywhere near healthy, and I think he's going to have a hard time getting open on a consistent basis.
PFW right again, by the way. How's it good to tear your groin completely? How is that going to allow him to be good?
I mean, I could sit here and I could make all the smarmy comments in the world.
The only time he got open is when the Steelers didn't care about him.
But I'm sorry, he's not a 3 catches for 17 yards receiver. He's got more athleticism than that, and you're not seeing it, and I think it's because he's hurt.
Does Belichick keep 5 running backs on the roster so one by one he can bench them for fumbling and, thank God, have still enough to finish the game? Point there.
Yes.
That's one of those rhetorical questions.
Yeah,
right?
I don't necessarily thought we needed to beat up on the man some more.
Duke says, I'm from New Jersey and my high school football team is going to play in the state championship this year. I was particularly excited because we found out the game was going to be at MetLife. I had just seen a Patriots game there, and I was looking forward to playing a game on the same field as Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. However, to the dismay of both me and the team, we found out our game was being relocated to Rutgers Stadium. But after I thought for a second, I figured it was just the same because basically half the Patriots went to Rutgers. So that was just
sort of another just kind of statement of fact.
Yep.
My high school team will not be playing for the state championship this year. In a rarity.
No, what happened to Everett? Jeez.
They lost in the North Final.
That's unbelievable.
In a Patriots-related question, I'd like to ask, early in the pregame coin toss, what happened when the official directly addressed Wes Welker?
You're kicking this way, Wes.
Yeah, is that okay, Wes, kicking this way or something? Like, did you catch exactly what unfolded there?
No.
Oh, okay. Move on.
Joel and Merrimack, what a game.
Just popped into my head.
I'm trying to remember when we last had a comeback like that, but I can't. The only regular season game I could think of that came close was the McGinnis tackle of Edrin James on the fourth down on the one-yard line to seal the win. There was the game in Champaign, Illinois that was pretty good. Some thoughts.
You also had a comeback against the Niners. It wasn't successful.
Right.
But.
Some thoughts from this game. Ridley has become a problem. He needs to talk to Kevin Faulk and ask him how he cured his fumbling woes. At this point, I'm not sure I would put him in unless someone gets hurt. Tlaib's comment about using cover two to entice Manning into running the ball was a very telling comment. Where is Carter? I don't think I've heard his name called this year. I think the Hightower experiment is over. I laughingly joke with my buddy that Belichick should defer the overtime kickoff. I stopped laughing when he did. Welker,
that's funny.
Welker did not look good, but we still miss him. Amendola did nothing. Now, lastly, I hope this game never happens again. I'm sick of the sports writers regurgitating a tale of two halves. Can't they come up with something a little bit more original? I agree.
I totally concur.
That an old friend.
I've been trying to slip those by you every once in a while. Have you allowed any of those through?
I take them out.
You do?
Eight and three. The description yesterday that Belichick was telling and then Ninkovich was telling about the decision to take the win in overtime was kind of funny when he was like, and then they asked, and so you want us to defer? No, just take the win. You want the win. You don't want the, and like,
right,
the,
you can't say
the back
I
and forth.
Yeah, you can't say I defer because then you don't get anything.
And then even Ninkovich said, even when they're out there and they won the toss, your instinct is to say, we'll take the ball. And, oh, no, wait, he wanted us to take the win. Like these whole inner conversations going on.
You really do need to clarify because there's a lot going on.
That's one that Bill should just take the referee and say, listen, if we win the toss, we're taking the win.
Well, that's what I don't really, I mean, like they do that with penalties now. In the old days, like you would talk to a captain and get the penalty. Now they just look at the sideline. They give the holding symbol.
And it's amazing they're able to do it.
Right. Like,
you know,
it's what I said. Captains are really useless on the field these days. They don't, I have this thing that just,
that's why we don't have to see. All the other teams do.
No, that's because we, you know, we don't conform. We don't play well with others.
I mentioned Champaign, Illinois, and Mike from Champaign, Illinois writes in, if you drop one player, Dante Hightower or Stephen Ridley, whom would it be?
Ridley.
Yeah, I think Ridley.
If we dropped one player, you know me, running back.
We need to get into Hightower because apparently we're the only ones noticed that he got hurt.
Well, let me finish this email.
Okay, we won't talk about important stuff.
On the touchdown to Tammy, Hightower was completely useless. Shouldn't the O-line on Ridley's fumble share some of the blame? Von Miller was untouched and hit Ridley's gap at full speed before Ridley made it to the line. Thanks
yes.
for the
greatest
you're
internet. Not supposed to get hit that fast. Absolutely. They had some breakdowns. They had breakdowns, no question.
They certainly had some trouble with Von Miller.
The offensive line was better in the second half than the first, no
getting
question.
Back to Hightower, yeah, he did have
the
some
long screen pass where they picked up like 26 yards or
Monte
something.
Ball on third and 20.
He hurt his leg. He stayed in for another play or whatever, but was clearly limping, clearly had a problem, and didn't play after that, I don't believe. People were trying to make it out to like he was benched and they made this adjustment and Fletcher and all this. I think he was hurt. I think he had a leg injury that prevented him from being capable of playing.
But, after he had that injury, he stayed in for a little bit.
I just said that. Yeah. You should listen.
And he made a play right after that, too.
Sort of. Yeah. Sort of. He was hurt.
Dan's been holding on the Ace Ticket line for a while from Virginia. Hey, Dan.
Oh, not Danny Picard?
G'day, fellas. How's it going?
Oh, g'day, mate.
I see what you did there.
I just want to say, first off, that was an epic win on Sunday night. The Pats were ancient Vikings. This was the sort of victory that would get songs written about them. I wanted to address three things quickly and then ask a couple of questions. Andy was commenting about why Ridley doesn't lower his helmet sometimes. Well, he did that last year in the AFC Championship game.
Well, you can't be a punani. If at first you don't succeed, try again.
And wasn't there a new rule this year that the running backs can't lower their helmets?
Yeah, in the open field.
But that's in the open field, and they don't call it. I mean, it's a very rare thing. And I don't mean just his helmet. I mean his shoulder pads and everything. Lower it. Don't shy away.
It's supposed to get small.
It's a targeting thing, too, the penalty. Yeah. You can lower your helmet. You just can't use it as a weapon.
Just run through a tackle instead of shying away from it.
Maybe his onesie constricts his movement.
And could be. Could be, Dan.
Yeah, much like Kevin Falk, I think Andy's being a little tough on Ridley from a physical standpoint.
What do you mean?
I don't think he's as bad as you're making him out to be.
I'm not saying he's bad. Between the line of scrimmage
and shying away from contact?
I think his first reaction is always to spin, turn, avoid. He never has that Adrian Peterson like, I'm just going to lower it and go with it.
Where we've been like, whoa, tough run by Ridley.
Yeah, I haven't.
Oh.
And Fred mentioned Manning.
You can argue with him now.
Manning was being coached by Belichick. I don't know how long that would last. I mean, Manning has always been after more money. Brady was willing to take less so that they could stock the team better. I don't know if Manning would take.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but maybe with the Belichick, he would have, like, entranced him into the whole Belichickian way.
Well, he has that, you know, Jedi Force. You will restructure your contract. I will restructure my contract.
You will take $9 million. Right. You will tell Giselle to be quiet.
The other thing about that is, yes, Brady has that bill, but Manning had a couple of Pro Bowlers on defense. You know, very strong when he was in Indy. You know, was it Sanders? Wasn't he Defensive Player of the Year?
Bob Sanders.
Brady's had Pro Bowlers.
Brady's had a lot more Pro Bowlers on defense than Manning has.
Yeah. Really? When the NFC,
they've had the
I
same.
Don't know what the breakdown is.
They had a great graphic during the game the other night. It was 1,000-yard rushers. Manning had like 9-4. 1,000-yard receivers. Manning had more Pro Bowlers. Just Pro Bowlers during their time, 50-50.
Yeah.
So where are all the Pro Bowlers coming from for Brady, and where are they all coming from for Manning?
Well, he's got some cheap offense.
They're offensive guys for Manning, because I do agree that Manning, in the entirety of his career, has had more weapons to work with, you know, with Harrison and Wayne. He had them longer than Brady had Moss and Welker. But Brady has had, you know, a laundry list of players. I mean, a lot more than Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney.
Yeah,
which is basically what you're talking about for the Colts.
All right, and just one last thing before I get on the two questions. Paul mentioned, what have we seen from Boyce? Yes, it hasn't been a lot, but he's only had like a couple of catches. But one of those, I think it was the Atlanta game, there was a busted play.
Yep.
Brady was getting swarmed. He basically tossed it up. Boyce caught it off his shoelace.
Yeah, I know the play you're talking about. It was an excellent play.
Like 20 yards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, I don't know, maybe he hasn't sort of shown enough to beat out Dobson, but...
I love Boyce. I want Boyce to get an opportunity to play. I just, you know, I don't think he's earned it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, he must not have. All right, thanks, Dan.
Hey, I got two questions.
Yep.
First off, I don't think there's anyone the Patriots need to fear in the AFC anymore. Yes, there are any number of teams that could have a good game and beat the Pats on any given day, but I don't think there's anyone that's a lock to beat the Pats. So, not to get ahead of ourselves, but who in the NFC are you concerned about should the Pats play them?
Oh, I'm concerned about Seattle. I'm concerned about San Francisco, the way they play defense. Who else? Who else am I worried about in the NFC? Those are the two ones that come to mind for sure.
I think you'd have to include Carolina, no?
Yeah, Carolina? Yeah, sure.
I'm not concerned.
I'm not really concerned about any of them.
You know.
I think you could lose to all of them, and I'm not concerned about any of them.
No, yeah.
And by the way, the bad news for the Seahawks is the Super Bowl is played on a neutral site.
But don't you think that Seattle and
I wouldn't want to go to Seattle.
And they test. So evidently half of their team will not be suiting up for any potential Super Bowl.
But I would not want to go to Seattle, but you don't have to go to Seattle.
Right.
If I'm an NFC team, I don't want to go to Seattle. I think I could beat Seattle at home if I'm an NFC team, but unfortunately they're going to have the road go through Seattle.
Right.
And the final question I have is, was part of their success in the second half due to them having a different plan going in? Because previous games, Manning has always seemed to figure out the Pats game and tends to come back in the second half. He hasn't always won, but there's often been a strong comeback by Manning in the second half. So I just wondered if even before that game that they had this, you know, they just had this plan of in the second half we're going to do all this different.
I don't think they changed anything.
No, I don't think they changed a thing.
I think they stuck with what they were doing, the nickel, the shell, whatever, you know, Tlaib was talking about. And just
six-man front, you know, the whole time. And they stuck with it. And
thankfully, the wind kept up.
And they fumbled. I mean, let's face it. You know, that Monte Ball fumble turned the whole complexion of the game.
I did that as our Take Tuesday today, and I went back and looked at it. It was the worst screen pass that's ever been run.
Yeah,
I went back and watched it from
there.
A million angles. You know what's most importantly not there for that's key to screen passes? Offensive linemen. He didn't have any blockers. They had the ball at the 48-yard line. He caught it at the 41 as a screen. And I don't know if they got caught up. They all blocked down trying to sell it, but the timing was off or something. And the only two people that were on this side of the ball were Dane Fletcher and Rob Ninkovich. They had no blockers. And a screen pass without blockers is DOA, and that's ended up what happened.
Yeah.
Ashley in London, big fan of the show, have a question regarding Welker's lack of productivity on Sunday. Do you put it down to the way Belichick played him? Is he a player in decline, or is Brady better than anyone, even the great coach on the field, Manning, at making good players look great or something else? Well, Welker's look great this year, so, you know.
Yeah.
I chalk that up to the win conditions and how they played him.
I thought Arrington was competitive. I thought Arrington was around him, physical, in his mug quite a bit.
I think they
combine that with the wind, and you had a tough day.
I think Collins was given an assignment to mess him up a little bit too near the line, and I think they both did a good job.
The numbers don't back me up, but I don't think
they
that
rarely
he,
do.
I don't think that he has been. I don't think that he's been as good this year as he has been in the past.
Welker,
yeah, I know it's silly. He's got the 9 touchdowns, but
maybe just because they don't depend on him as much.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe.
I don't know. Every game I've seen, he's like, oh, there's Wes Welker.
He's just like, it's so funny with him. Like, he catches 100 balls here for like 6 straight years. Then he goes to Denver and he becomes like this red zone force where he's got 9 touchdowns. And Paul just goes, he's just not that good. He's just not that good.
I started off by saying I don't think the numbers back me up, but I just.
No, but I just think it's even
I've
funny.
Seen
like
him
he
have
sort
a lot of
changed
games.
His game and he become a touchdown guy.
I've seen him have a lot of games like he like the other night, like where he's sort of been a non-factor in the game, but he ends up with 5 or 6 catches. Now he had 4 the other night.
I know, but I mean, he has 9 touchdowns and he was the leading.
He has
receiver,
9 touchdowns. That's why I said the numbers don't back.
But he also was the leading receiver for the best offense in football. Like, I just think you really.
I devalued. I've always
Calvin Johnson.
I've always devalued the reception total.
No, I know.
Just like I think catching the ball has never been.
Well, he doesn't think it's there's any skill involved with catching the ball.
I don't. I think
and Aaron Dobson goes, hey, could I get some of that?
I think of receptions like I do rushing attempts. I think it's the same thing. And then the good ones do something with them. And that's where I, you know, you said that he has the
like
most
score?
Receptions. He has the most receptions, but he's like 4th in yards. You know, so I think other guys have been more productive with fewer catches.
What did he ever do to you?
Nothing. I just.
Why do you hate Wes Welker?
I don't hate Wes Welker. Matter of fact,
Welker.
I talked to him on the way back out of the locker room the other night. Said hello.
I love when he does that. The fraud that he is. The guy's been ripping for 7 years. Hey Wes, how are you, man? Can I hug?
The description of
you're
ripping
like bonk
him
breakers?
Is so ridiculous. Because I don't think that he's the be-all end-all that,
awesome.
That you guys
How's
do.
How's your wife? She's hot.
Never even seen her.
He takes it all serious. I've never even seen her.
I couldn't tell you if she's hot.
I have. I'm in person. Doesn't look like she looks in her Hawaiian tropics.
Sam at Chicago.
What the hell was that?
Well, she was a model or something?
She's
or?
Like, I believe she was like a Hawaiian tropic girl. Or
okay.
One of those bikini-esque.
Sam at Chicago, after a game like
How
that,
we
I
have a Golden Corral around here.
I don't know.
I really would like a
I think that's really bad
fountain.
Food.
Is it?
Yeah.
Every time
I've
I
never
look
been
up,
there,
they got like wing bars, appetizer bars. It's
yeah,
all you can
it's
eat.
It's probably like Paul said, you know.
Well, I'm
it's
not,
like
but
old
I'm
country
not a
buffet.
Snob. Yeah, but Old Country Buffet doesn't have that kind of stuff. They have like bad.
Yeah, but
food.
I think that's the food that you get. So
no,
like,
but like they
Ponderosa.
Have Ponderosa. They have a.
Yes,
I kind of liked Ponderosa.
Oh.
But they have like a buffalo
it's
wing
good when
bar.
You have a family of 6.
Nacho bar.
You know, you just okay, go. You know, $10 a person.
You get the trofa.
Right.
I bet you. I'm just gonna say. I bet you we're gonna get some emails. People saying Golden Corral's not bad because there's a lot of them in the country, right?
I know.
Just not
they
here.
Do a lot of advertising.
Well, there's a lot
too.
Of chains that are
right
everywhere in the country that aren't good.
You know that Scottish place that's all over.
Scotland.
I think it's McDonald's, right?
Sudikov says there's a Golden Corral in Springfield.
Where? Is it good? You never been?
So I lived across from one. I lived across from one when I was living in Florida for 8 months, but I never went.
When did you live in Florida for 8 months?
In 2008.
Why?
In jail?
I was working for the PGA Tour for a whole season.
Sawgrass.
Yeah, when I moved in here? I thought, what?
And you came back here?
Yeah.
Proving like yet me. Again he's a moron.
I thought it was a strip club when I moved in because of all the neon lights. I was like, oh, Dad, I'm like moving in from across a strip joint. And he's like, what? And I was like, it's called Golden Corral. He's like, that's a buffet, you idiot.
Your dad treats you like I do, you idiot.
Did he really say you idiot? I love it.
Sam in Chicago writes, in great win, after a game like that, I have to browse the opposing team's local paper for a different perspective analysis.
Way to go, Sam.
In summary, the Denver Post Monday morning reaction painted a huge picture of Broncos beating themselves again and again to let the Patriots win. The articles didn't mention any fault toward the loss attributed to New England's established passing attack or defense. I'm just tuning in. Sorry if you've already covered this, but in your opinion, how much of Sunday night's win was a result of the Broncos' mistakes versus the Patriots' continued progress? 70% this Patriots team, with the help of the weather, is on track, barring injury. 30% Sunday night's win was a result of Broncos' mistakes. That's, I guess, what you say, Sam. I don't think a lesser team, could not have been able to take advantage of the mistakes that the Broncos made in the second half. I think you need to be happy with that.
Yeah, I'll give the Patriots 55% credit or something, because I think it started with the drive right down the field, and that wasn't the Broncos. That was you saying, this is a different half, we're going to produce, blah, blah, blah. But the turnovers were a big part of it, a really big part.
Yeah, and just like, and I'm, the turnovers were a big part of the Broncos' season control in the first place.
Correct. Do we know that, like, you can't get, did that fumbles rank, like,
11?
Was it notable?
How many is 11 fumbles? Is that the most? I don't know.
It seemed like a lot. I mean, 11 fumbles is a lot of fumbles in a
16-minute
11
fumbles,
game.
A lot of football. That's a lot of fumbles now.
But, did Aaron? Oh, no, that's not really a good stat. They only do positive stats in PR.
Sean in New Jersey, the only thing I totally agree with Fred about are my absolute hatred of the Jets and Peyton Manning.
He scored again.
I don't hate Peyton Manning. I live in New Jersey, and I'm totally surrounded by Jets fans and relish their pain almost as much as Patriots victories. So when both happen the same day, it makes for a beautiful thing. I agree. Second, I love the shots throughout the game of Peyton Manning's miserable red face. Talk about priceless. He wanted no part of the game in that weather. It can only bode well for us come playoffs.
The best part, and I told Paul this, he took his helmet off, and he had the scuba gear thing on.
Right.
So that covered everything except the big red thing.
The big red spot.
It looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
He's such a pouter. When he sits on the bench, he just like shakes his head and makes that face. He's very unlikable visually. Very unlikable visually.
Right. But I don't hate him the way I hate the Jets. Oh, my God.
Well,
not even close.
I got it this week. All that crap I took from having the Jets lowly ranked in the Wilson-Hart Power Index, I've been enjoying them crapping themselves. And just for Jets fans, just so you know, they're now tied for 30th. Despite being 5-6, they're tied for 30th because they blow at everything. They just happen to have 5 wins.
And they play decent defense. You know?
Kansas City move up again this week? I'll take that as a yes.
You'll have to wait till the TV show to find out.
Andrew writes, in great game, this was a great game that shows the mental toughness that we will need for the playoffs. I would still like to see them close out a game in the third or fourth quarter, and then they are ready. Think about our latest run with all of the defensive injuries and O-line injuries, and we are still in the running for the best AFC team. One, are there any other games on the schedule that should concern us, Dolphins, Ravens? I think they all should, really. If you've been paying attention this season,
then it's going to come down to a touchdown.
If you've been paying attention this season, then the only one that would concern you is Baltimore.
Well, what about every game coming down to a touchdown?
Not against those teams.
All of a sudden, things are going to change?
First of all, they've only had this offense for, what, 3 games?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good
point
by him.
They would have blown Buffalo
point.
Out of the water if they had an offense. They would have blown the Jets out of the water if they had an offense. They have that offense now.
That's a good point by him.
So I'm not worried about those teams.
I like it when he's the guy that's over the top. That's what I'm trying to do.
Well, he's never over the top. He's bitching about going to the Super Bowl.
Well, he thinks it's you know, we're going to run the table, 5-0.
I think this – I would be – I'm mildly concerned about Baltimore because I think Baltimore is going to be playing for its playoff life, and I think it's a proud team that's getting some guys back. I think Pitta could help that offense. Defensively, they're playing terrific.
Christmas week, all the players are thinking about getting home and giving gifts.
So they might be able to give you a problem. Now, I also could see the Patriots clicking on all cylinders in the next 3 or 4 games against these pathetic teams and rolling into that game and blowing doors off. You know, especially if Baltimore loses another game or two between now and then they don't really think they have a chance. That's a team. That's the worst sign of quitting is the good team that has the disappointment. See Houston Texans.
Right.
You know, the good team that has a bad year
right.
when all of a sudden you lose 9 in a row because once you lost the 3rd in a row,
your hopes were so high.
Everybody quit.
Yeah.
Not J.J. Watt. You know Watt?
Two, says Andrew, if we had lost, would you still feel the same? I would. I was okay with how they played the Panthers last week. We are now able to go blow by blow with two great playoff-ready teams, and we had a win and a loss. Not bad.
If they lost to Denver, how?
Well, like if the comeback had fallen short. Let's say Denver won in overtime.
Or the guy goes 80 yards,
okay,
right?
If Denver had won in overtime on the field goal, I would feel exactly the way the email just said.
I think
said.
That's
me
what
too.
He means.
Me
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I told you. I felt it last week. That game in Carolina proved to me this is a playoff ready. They're going deep. Well,
yeah, but I didn't have any worried about being playoff ready.
Oh, I did. I think there's only
three or four teams
needed those big boy wins like Felger needs.
Yeah, there's only three or four teams that are,
me to Felger,
that are better than
that's
that.
What he's saying.
Felger's an idiot.
He doesn't like it when you win 45-0 because it's not a.
But what I don't understand is, you know, and I'm not picking on Andy because
I didn't call him an a-hole.
I'm the only one that doesn't.
I called him an
a-hole. Like
that's Andy Hart.
What did anybody expect to happen in Carolina?
What?
What do you mean?
Did
people expect them to get? They lost. They went and lost.
Right.
And everybody came away with it so excited.
Well, they could have scored 6 points and crapped themselves against Cincinnati.
But honestly, did you expect that? Did you think there was even
a
remote chance?
No, but I needed to know. I had not seen the offense play a good game all year.
I know, but did you
all year? I had not seen the offense play a good game.
But I'm asking you, and I know it's retrospect, but I'm asking you what you thought going in.
I thought they would play well offensively.
I think you picked 20-17, right?
Something like that.
And they lost 24-20. So basically you nailed it. Or 23-20 you picked.
Yeah, I picked.
Basically you nailed the way the game was going to unfold.
Right, I'm often right.
Is exactly what you thought, but yet you came out of the game so excited about
because
it.
Because they
again,
marched the ball up and down the field against what's supposed to be a good. I said the offense is back. I'm not going to see one of 12s anymore. I'm not going to see guys just blowing.
But you really thought there was a chance you could see one for 12 with all those guys out there.
I can't assume. And it's all Gronk related, apparently. It's
yes.
just Gronk, because Amendola still stinks. Edelman is still who he was.
Of course it's all Gronk related. We've been saying that all year.
It's Vereen related, too. He adds an option.
He does.
He still can't catch the ball down the field, and I'm going to blame it on the cast because I like Vereen.
That second one.
See, there's another pet. That's another one.
My pet.
That's another one
I'm
of my
blaming everything on that cast.
Where I say, yeah, he's got the
cast. Whether the ball hits his cast hand or not, I'm blaming it on the cast.
He's got the cast there.
Well, Collinsworth certainly was. Each time he would
mention
that.
Well, he's typical. He's an ex-receiver. Blame him.
Two, if we – I said that already. three, do you think Ridley is not with the team next year? What receivers do you think they move on from? Danny, Boyce? I don't want to talk about next year.
Danny Amendola?
Yeah.
They're not going to move on from him.
Yeah, he's under a three-year
five.
Deal. Oh, is it five? That's right.
And there would be a cap acceleration.
Yeah. Why is it that everyone's so, you know, who are they going to sign next year? Let's relish in what just happened and stick to that.
People always want to look ahead.
I don't want to look ahead. I want to look to Houston.
It might be a good sign, though, that fans are now fully on board.
Fred wants to look to Houston.
Fred,
you don't have to take them one at a time.
I would love to see the Patriots go to the Super Bowl.
His heart can't take anything more than one at a time.
I tell you, it's tough. I would love to see the Patriots go to the Super Bowl so that Belichick can take a blank in Rex's private bathroom and leave a sign, this is what I think about your defense. Let me tell you, he would if he could.
Oh, I'm not sure he would.
That's being a jackass.
Because he essentially benched Wes Welker for doing that.
Well, did you hear it? And this is
no.
a true story. I guess... Rex has always had like this crush on Heather Locklear, so someone sent him a picture of Heather Locklear, and he put it on his wall in his office. And Patini is that the special teams coach there, or some, one of the coaches?
The former defensive coordinator is now the defensive coordinator in Buffalo is Pettin. Mike Pettin.
Back when he put it up on the wall, he came into the office and says, "Oh, look at that!" And he goes, "There's only one thing missing." And Rex said, "Yeah, she's got her shoes on." So like he makes fun of himself. Which is that's funny.
They are beautiful.
It is kind of funny, but it still makes me uncomfortable. Yeah. I just don't get the foot fetish thing.
Really beautiful.
Why do you have to get it? You have a boob fetish.
Boobs are not disgusting. Boobs. You don't walk on boobs. Boobs don't get sweaty and dirty and gross and shoes all day.
But did you ever think for a second that maybe some people don't find boobs all that attractive like you do?
They're called gay men.
But most men like to do.
Did you ever see anybody so ridiculously close-minded?
I kind of agree with.
Do I share? Yeah. Would I rather look at a boob or a foot? I'm going to go with a boob.
Save that one. I have feet. I don't necessarily have boobs.
I get it, too. But
although they're getting
that's a good one.
Fred,
yours are just hairy.
It's called a fetish. It's whatever you think is attractive.
Right, right.
It's just because his is a little bit more mainstream doesn't make it right.
Do you mind if I touch them?
Do you mind if I touch them?
I find fruit And I think the foot fetish in terms of fetishes is pretty mainstream, right? I mean, isn't that the most common of the fetishes?
What?
Let's say you, Terp.
Foot fetish, yeah.
Like up there on the acceptable fetish.
Yeah. I don't think Mr. Terp likes the boobs all that much based on
you don't
reaction.
Like boobs?
What? Scott no. Sudikoff
no,
is
no,
here.
No, 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 no. I love boobs.
I love boob.
I'm just, more of a backside guy.
I don't think Mr. Terp likes the boobs
you
very
like the
much.
Junk
that
in the
is a drop.
Yeah, yeah. That's, like, that's me.
You like the junk in the trunk.
Yeah. Fred okay. calls it bah.
Well, I saw you at the wrestling.
At the wrestling?
Yeah, I was... No, that was my twin. I wasn't
oh,
there.
Oh, okay.
What dude, wrestling? Sudi's like Kramer. He's an ass man.
Yeah.
What wrestling? Wait,
right,
wrestling?
He was at WWE.
You were at WWE?
No, I saw pictures of him.
Wait, oh. What?
Why'd you see
Scott
pictures?
Was at WWE.
Now you're,
he's
now
the
you're
belt.
Outing
he's
me that
John
I was,
Cena's belt.
Now you're outing me that I was there and not watching the football game live.
Well, you had your little TV, I'm sure.
Wait, you oh, went yeah. to Monday. What was it?
It was Survivor Series Sunday night.
Where was it, Boston?
At the Garden, yeah.
Nice. You and Jimmy Stewart?
I used to go to wrestling
me and Jimmy
in the day.
Stewart.
I used for to go sure. see wrestling shows back in the day.
We got upgraded to ringside 2 matches in, so we're
really?
pretty much big deals.
You know somebody?
They know people. I just kind of tag along.
That's
they,
awesome.
They know people.
Now, were you too close? Everybody says if you're too close, it's not good.
No, you want to be that close. Plus, we
you
sat.
You want to smell the sweat.
Plus, we sat with
you
John
Cena.
Want to
see just how fake it is up
well,
close.
That's, but that's what I've heard. Some
well,
people...
well, that's the thing. You kind of can see. Like, I did notice a few times. Like, he just totally missed. Like, sometimes, you know, you normally they come pretty close or right. there is contact. One time there was a kick, and it was like he didn't even come close. But
you do know it's all fake, right?
No, no, it's not. Oh, what are you talking about?
Especially the boobs to bring us full circle.
Well, we got we got brought down to ringside just as the 7-on-7 women's match was starting. So
nice.
Well,
as
pretty
you
good timing.
As you might have guessed, Scott is filling in for John Rook today. John is on the road, I guess. I don't know. Doing
he's in
the
peanut butter and jam tournament.
He's on the way back
so you'll
after
have
a tough
he lost.
Scott will be with you for the next 2 hours. Of Scott, you get your work cut out for you because there are a ton of emails that we didn't get to.
Oh boy!
So
oh, yeah,
nitpick Tuesday. Don't forget to nitpick.
Or nitpick
what,
Tuesday.
What day is today?
I'm sorry. But there's no nitpick. Okay. Nitpick Tuesday should be canceled.
Yeah. So Scott, have a good show.
You fumble three straight times to open a game. You can't nitpick.
Fantasy football champs at 4 o'clock.
You're
we'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.